Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from December 6th, 1995.
From the high desert in the great American Southwest. And oh, it's beautiful out there, a full starry night. A moon that less than 1 hour from now enters its complete full phase. That may tell you something about our show this morning, who knows. Stretching all the way from Tahiti and Hawaii to the U.S. Virgin Islands, south well into Central and South America, north to the pole. This is Coast to Coast AM. Good morning, everybody. I'm Art Bell, and it's great to be here. I have a message from Gordon Michael Scalia, and we will get to it in due time. And I sort of debated it, but I'm going to air it. It is a message he sent me earlier. He promised to keep in touch. There is news. President Clinton vetoed the plan for balancing budget 7 years, making yet another government shutdown in mid-December or so all the more likely. Said that he did it because of Medicare cuts, environmental changes, gutting the environmental laws, tax cut that the Republicans wanted, and all the rest of it. The president is saying that he will come up with his own way to balance the budget in 7 years. He will dip into other areas and save money hither and yon, and we'll submit that on the morrow. The president's approval rating, according to the Wall Street Journal and NBC, is now up higher than it's been at any time since last June. 51% of the American people approve of what the president is doing. This is now in the face of Bosnia as well, right? Now, this astounds me. And it bears a little bit of thought how this president can be this popular. Now, I don't have that answer. I read you a letter last night that President Clinton wrote back when he evaded the draft in Vietnam, during the Vietnam days. That tells you, it's worth a million words. Even though it was a little lengthy, it wasn't a million words, it's worth a million, about his character. At any rate, he has vetoed the bill, and the American people like it, proving, I think, that the American people want a balanced budget. And if there is a poll, they will say they want a balanced budget, pay off the debt. But when there is actual reduction planned to do so, the American people don't like it. And what they like is the kind of guy who will tell you what you want to hear. And that's what they've got, and that's what they voted for. And now his approval rating is up. Not enough votes to override. So, it appears to be bargain or bust. In other words, the Republicans have got to get down and compromise with the president. Or mid-December, just about when the first troops, mass troops, hit the ground in Bosnia, the government will once again shut down. Newt Gingrich in the news. Ethics problems for Newt. Now, whatever you may think about the validity or non-validity of the accusations against Gingrich, and a lot of them are absolute baloney, apparently this one, they have voted, Republicans and Democrats on the Ethics Committee, have voted 10-0 for an independent investigator. Mr. Gingrich now has about a 56% disapproval rating. And the question is, I guess, that they're going to investigate. It's going to be narrow. It's going to involve the money raised from some sort of televised college course he gave, and whether it might have been used for political purposes. It is not going to be about GOPAC. There are allegations about that running around that Gingrich used money for his congressional campaign and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Mr. Gingrich is in another one of his funks. He seems to go in them from time to time. And it is true the Democrats are demonizing him, and he must feel like a demon, because yesterday he said, I've just about had it with these attacks. Every now and then, he seems to get to the point where you almost think he's going to walk out. You almost think he's going to just give it up and leave. I think Mr. Gingrich, like the president, has a lot of mood swings. But you know I do, too. And he's pretty worn down right now, and the great majority, who knows ultimately whether they're going to get him on some sort of ethics violation. But an awful lot of this, folks, is pure, absolute, unadulterated attack mode by the Democrats, and they're just trying to make him into a demon. And they have filed zillions of charges against him. Most of them have been dropped outright. What they're doing to Newt Gingrich is karmic, I suppose, in the sense that Newt Gingrich did it to the previous speaker. And so it's payback time, I'm sure. And that's the way it is in the political world. And so they're coming at him like a freight train. Now, what a surprise here. From Reuters this hour. Will U.S. mission be extended? Two former top U.S. officials say President Clinton opened the door Wednesday to keeping U.S. troops in Bosnia longer than a year. But the White House says Clinton's remarks were misinterpreted during a closed White House meeting attended by Zbigniew Brzezinski and Alexander Haig, who served under Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. So, there you are. Already there are rumors of, if not the reality of, an extension of the mission in Bosnia. No big surprise. NBC did a big story yesterday on our volunteer military. 1.5 million men at 500 bases. And, by the way, the first U.S. plane has now landed in Bosnia, Tuzla. And NBC, for whatever reason, and maybe there is a valid reason, interviewed some of the troops who are going to Bosnia, and some of them said things like, quote, I don't think it's right for us to have to go there. Now, in America, we had a draft, you'll recall, until 1973. And now it's a volunteer army. And when they, you've seen the advertisement, be all you can be, right? There are lots of promises of college, travel, you get that, money, health care, you get that, PX, commissary, privileges, you know, all the bennies you get. But in the be-all-you-can-be commercials, they sort of leave out the but-you-might-have-to-go-fight part. And NBC was interviewing a whole bunch of voluntary military guys who want the career opportunity, they want the training, they want to be able to go into the private sector after they get out of the military and be trained for a job and all the rest of that. But a lot of them don't want to have to go and fight. Now, General Schwarzkopf defended them, saying they are all very well trained. And he went on to say, something I brought up to you the other day, whether you agree or not with the decision that sent them, the troops, there, Small Volunteer Army. Once they're there, you've got to support them. And I think that is certainly correct. You do support the troops. Can you criticize the policy and support the troops at the same time? Funny question, huh? It's the one that they asked constantly during Vietnam, when the conservatives criticized the Democrats, and the Democrats responded, well, don't you remember? Because I do. That's the one good thing about age. You know, you've got memory, and you can remember when similar things have happened before. And I remember very well the liberals who would come and say, well, I support the troops, but I don't support the war. And that has occurred during several wars. So it is always an argument you have when U.S. troops are dispatched to a foreign land. This sent to me on America Online, just simple, short, and sweet. Given our fearless president's past involvement with marijuana, is it not ironic that the mission to Bosnia is to be called Operation Joint Endeavor? It's the first time that I didn't know the name of the operation, Joint Endeavor. So now we have an endeavor. We don't have a war. We don't have, well, I'm not sure what, maybe we do have a war. I don't know what we have, but we're going to call it an endeavor, apparently. Dear Art, last night you talked about the media towers at Tuzla. And I have a feeling at least two of CNN's reporters will be the poor guy they always send out sloshing into the path of a hurricane, and the female reporter they had stuck in the middle of Beirut for years ducking incoming shells. A P.S. Happy full moon. I wonder what tonight's program will bring. Well, I can nearly predict it, Charlotte. Thank you. Yeah, I thought it was kind of strange what the media was doing in Bosnia. Near the Tuzla area where the troops are going to be coming in, the media are building these wooden platforms. They almost look like gallows or something. And that is where their cameras will go so they can catch the U.S. troops landing and whatever action might be going on. And, you know, it seems to me that they're going to make awfully tempting sniper targets up there on those platforms, and they might want to rethink that a place to be, or they're assuming it's going to be totally safe. Frankly, the better place to be when bullets are around is below ground level. That's why they have GIs dig trenches, as opposed to putting up towers. AIDS. Interesting news, a possible breakthrough. Scientists claim they have found certain white blood cells that release a chemical that causes the AIDS virus to stop replicating. Now, the hope is, of course, that using these chemicals, either by producing them and injecting them, or producing something that causes your own body to produce more of them, scientists can stop AIDS. In fact, in the test tube, it has been stopped. But the scientists are absolutely amazed that for some reason, what works in the test tube does not work in the human body. And so they're working on that part. Now, we have never cured a virus. We may cure this one, I don't know. There is some very interesting work being done. And I thought Wayne Green, by the way, had a lot of interesting things to say about that as well. But it is amazing that the virus in the human body continues to replicate no matter what they do. And yet they can kill it in the test tube. That's really, really weird. We'll be back. All right, now I'm going to do something that I'm sorry that I have to do, but I think you're going to find it, I'm even afraid of the right word to use about what you're going to hear here in a second. Somebody sent me a fax showing a picture of the globe in circular fashion, showing latitudes. And they showed the 8-point quake that you know has occurred in north of Japan, about 850 miles north of Tokyo. And it shows a latitude of several, sort of a small flurry of quakes here in the U.S. And the latitude is exactly the same as the 8-point quake over in north of Tokyo. And you might want to check that out for yourself. That is very interesting. In fact, he says, Art, I think we have something to be concerned about here. Two quakes of similar magnitude at almost exactly the same latitude on the same day in California and Utah. A third quake the day before off of California at yet the same latitude and even stronger. now we get to it. Earlier today, I got a fax from Gordon Michael Scallion, and I'm going to read it to you, and then it will become obvious what we are going to do. I want to caution you, as you hear what you're about to hear, that what you're hearing is prophecy. That doesn't mean it's going to automatically come true. That is the nature of prophecy. Having said that, I will say what I always say about Gordon Michael Scallion. I have been watching him very carefully, and his predictions have been eerily on the mark. Now, here it is. I'll just read it to you verbatim, all right? And then we can talk about it if you want, and you will become aware of what it is that we're going to do. It's going to be obvious. Dear Art, as you are aware, Japan's Kuril Islands, that's K-U-R-I-L Islands, were hit with a magnitude 8.0 earthquake this week. Now it's underlined. This is the first of four events I have predicted for the time frame beginning in December of 1995. See Earth Changes Report 3 of 95. That would have been March. He goes on and signals the beginning of my third four-quake scenario for 1995. Events will now progress quickly. On Friday, December 8th, 1995, I will be releasing a press and media update to this prophecy, including potential events that I see occurring in the U.S. as part of this scenario. I promise to keep you informed on any updates, and I will send you the latest release on Friday, the 8th, at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. I regret my health is such I cannot appear on your program due to its late airtime. 5 years of visions has taken its toll. I can, if you wish, discuss this update for up to an hour with you via phone at 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. Eastern on the 8th, that's Friday, which, if appropriate for you and your listeners, could be rebroadcast on your Friday night, Saturday morning coast-to-coast show. He goes on, I do not wish to alarm anyone, but I sense we are very close to major geological events occurring in the U.S. and elsewhere. Since both of my earlier four-quake scenarios have occurred, let me say that again. Since both of my earlier four-quake scenarios have occurred in sequence and on time, I can only assume the potential now exists, the complete four-quake scenario, which has just begun, may now occur. Even if the percentage of such an event occurring is low, I would still feel that everyone in high-risk areas should be prepared, no different than if a hurricane warning were posted. I pray the visions I'm seeing now are wrong. If it should turn out to be so, those who got prepared will be better prepared for when it does occur. The scientific community and myself are no longer so far apart in our predictions. The only difference between us now is the time frame and extent of damage. Sincerely, Gordon Michael Scallion. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 6th, 1995. Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 6th, 1995.
Top of the morning, everybody. 241 affiliates now, strong, across the nation. And if I tell you all the secrets I knew in the cities we're going to soon, it'd blow your mind. It does mine. Well, there is a full moon up there. In about 25 minutes, it is officially full. So, this was just great time. A great time to drop all this on you from Gordon Michael Skyen. I would be, of course, interested in your comments on it. Again, I say it is prophecy. And as such, you know, you've got to take it with a grain of salt. However, maybe we'll get into what my, you know, I've had all day long to think about what he just told us in this fax. And those of you that have been following what he's had to say over the time I've been interviewing him, you know what this means. And I've done a lot of thinking about it personally all day long, and I've come to some of my own conclusions on a personal basis. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi, I'd like to speak with Art Bell.
That's me, sir. We don't have a call screener. We just put you on the air. So This is it. You're on.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. I'm calling from Houston, Texas, KCRH.
Yes.
Let me turn my radio off.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's
apologize.
Good. That's good. Turn it off.
First-time caller.
Yes, sir.
I'm calling from KTRH.
Houston.
Yes, sir. And I'm an over-the-road truck driver. I don't get to listen to you very often. The last time I listened, you had I can't remember the gentleman's name, a philanthropist on that was talking about fusion coal pack.
That would have been a physicist.
A physicist, yes, sir. And if you could be so kind as to describe it to me, I've talked to a couple of people and they've never heard of it before, and I understand Toyota is the one that's involved in it now.
I recall a guest, I have so many on, I'm sorry, but I recall a guest, yes, saying that, I believe it was Wayne, as a matter of fact, I think it was Wayne Green, who said that Toyota is doing a lot of research into cold fusion right now. Yes, uh-huh.
Wayne Green.
Wayne Green, yes. And we are going to repeat the Wayne Green show. I can't recall which night, either at Christmas or New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll let you know, but we're going to repeat the show downline somewhere.
Oh, well, then I'll let someone else call and talk with you then. I appreciate it, and I'll be listening for it.
All right, sir. Thank you. A lot of people were really fascinated with that, and Wayne has had thousands of faxes and phone calls since the show, as have so many of our guests. I'll tell you another guest I'm working on right now. I'm the man who I just lost my train of thought. I've got that schedule handed to me. Let me see. Okay, yes, here it is. New Year's Day, Monday night, Tuesday morning. I take the day off. Every year I take one day at Christmas and one day at New Year's, and we do a Dreamland repeat. So I'll give you the schedule anyway. You want to know what's going to happen? Sunday, December 24th. In other words, Christmas Eve. Dreamland will re-air the Whitley Strieber program. So Whitley Strieber on Sunday, December 24th. On Coast to Coast AM Monday, Christmas night, or Christmas Day, if you will, I'll be off. We will re-air the interview we did with Harry Brown, the Libertarian Party hopeful. Dreamland, Sunday, December 31st, the following week. We will re-air the show we did on Dreams with Dr. Jillian Holloway. Then Coast to Coast Monday, New Year's Day. Again, I am off. And we will re-air the show with Wayne Green that so many of you wanted to hear. So that is the schedule for me through the holidays. I work most holidays, with the exception of Christmas and New Year's, and I get a three-day holiday each one of those weeks. And I am looking forward to it, assuming Nevada remains planted in roughly the same area it is now. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi. Hello? Goodbye. First time caller line, you're on the air. Good morning. Hello.
Hi, Art.
Hello.
Hey, this is really great to talk to you. Just got to say that I love you, and you're really hot, man. We just love the hell out of you.
Where are you?
I'm right outside of Portland, KEX.
Well, thank you for all that. What's on your mind?
Well, boy, I tell you, this Gordon Michael Scallion and what's going on with the quickening and everything, I just have to be excited about it all. I know it's going to be some rough stuff that we're going to have to go through, but I believe that the change is imminent, and that's exactly what we need.
I don't feel that way.
You don't feel that way?
No, I don't. I know that, you know, I have guests on. Gordon is not necessarily one of them. But I had a guest, for example, on Dreamland this last week, and Maura Timms, and she and I disagreed very much on... she took the same tact you are. The changes are good, and she kind of slides by what it's going to mean in terms of human lives. Now, if what Gordon Michael Scallion predicts here should come true, it would be horrible. He's talking about a completion in the first major cycle, and I've talked to him a lot, so I know,
yeah,
of 8-point earthquakes, one probably to come soon in the Indian Ocean area, one to come in South America or Mexico, and then I would guess one to come on the U.S. West Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, so I'm not really looking forward to that, be honest with you.
Well, no, Art, of course you're not, because we're stuck in this lifetime right here, right now. What I'm talking about is the evolution of the human spirit.
Yes, sir, I understand.
And that's why...
I understand. Believe me, you've got to believe me. Thank you for the call. I understand the way you feel and the way other people feel that this is some sort of evolution, and we will come out bigger and better and stronger on the other side should it occur. But I do not look forward to it. And I can't find myself taking that, assuming that attitude. I look at it from a, human suffering point of view. Okay? And I know the old expression, no pain, no gain. And I am prepared to agree with a lot of you that maybe, even if this does occur, the human spirit will be lifted somehow and we will be stronger on the other end. But you know me. I'm pretty pragmatic, and I'm not very far wrong when I say if an 8-point earthquake were to occur in the L.A. area, all the buildings would fall down. If an 8-point earthquake were to occur in San Francisco, most or all of the buildings would fall down. 8-plus earthquakes, or 9, you know, they level things, and... The 8-point earthquake that just occurred 850 miles north of Japan occurred in a place where there are not people. Very fortunate. But if it begins the cycle, as Gordon suggests, and we will interview him in detail. In other words, I'm going to do a taped interview with him for reasons listed in the facts on Friday, and I'll put it on the air Friday night, Saturday, assuming that all comes true and his schedule does not get interrupted or somehow we manage not to get it done. But I think, obviously, if you heard the facts, he considers it of sufficient importance that we do that daytime interview to be replayed. So, I don't know, I can't get excited about it in the sense that, like that man and Maura Timms and others have. I have a admittedly different attitude toward it. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. Hi.
I'm calling from Sonora, California.
Sonora, yes.
Yeah.
We are on the air, I believe, in Sonora.
Okay. Oh, that's great.
Had you heard that?
No, I haven't. I'll look into that, indeed. I heard you talk about Gordon Michael Scallion being sick from the visions. I'm a visionary, too, and I have foreseen California and everything all my life, almost exactly when and where and everything about all the details. Many, many times. But I have a way of recharging myself, and I want to know if I can have Mr. Scallion's address to help him restore his energy. This does take a lot of energy.
Sure. Have you got a pencil and paper?
Yes, I sure have.
It's Post Office Box 336.
Box 336.
Chesterfield, New Hampshire.
Chesterfield,
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
I just happen to have it here. Zip code 03-443-443-0336. Yep.
I want to tell you one thing that I have seen, and the big one in California, that it will happen on a time when the children are home with their families, and the weather will be fair, and it will be kind of crisp and cold. I've seen that. I've seen green grass growing in different areas, which may mean it's in the winter months that we have fairer weather here. I have foreseen this so many times, and the visions I've seen are so horrendous that I don't even want to tell the general public too much because I don't want to frighten them, but many people will survive it, too. There's going to be a lot of volcanic eruptions. A lot of volcanic activity around the San Andreas Fault. Volcanoes will rise.
Well, these things are already occurring to some
mm-hmm.
degree, ma'am. I'm going to have to run. Thank you very much. I have followed Mr. Scallion's predictions very carefully. With respect to Etna and Vesuvius, most specifically, you'll recall earlier in the year, those of you who listened earlier in the year, that he made very specific a prophecy regarding Vesuvius and Etna, and both of them are rumbling and smoking and getting ready to go, according to scientists. They've got a voluntary evacuation called for below Vesuvius right now. Etna's been shaken like crazy. There's been activity, recent volcanic activity in the Caribbean that he predicted. And now this one is the big facts, as far as I'm concerned. He is obviously suggesting the large quake scenario is now underway. That's his belief, if I'm reading this correctly. And if you think I'm reading it incorrectly, you let me know. We'll do it again next hour. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good morning, Art.
Hi.
Tim in Denver. How are you doing this morning?
Just fine, Tim.
Great. I want to make two comments. First of all, the same morning that you watched Apollo 13, I also had rented it and watched it as soon as I got off work at 6 in the morning. And I wanted to go back to the point they made when everything was kind of breaking down, and one of the gentlemen says in NASA control how things were just falling apart. Things couldn't be any worse than that. And the other gentleman says, on the contrary, I think this will be not NASA's finest hour. Do you remember that part?
Well, you got it a little wrong. He said, on the contrary, I don't think things are falling apart. I think it will be NASA's finest hour.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that kind of hit me as I watched it as the possibly the way the quickening may turn out.
I think you're going to be interested in Dreamland this coming Sunday. I've got Dr. Brian O'Leary, a former Apollo scientist astronaut, and though he did not go on a mission, he was slated to go on the Mars mission that we canceled. He was indeed a full astronaut, and I think you'll find it fascinating.
Terrific. One other quick question. I've ordered your book, so if you answer it in the book, don't tell me, because I don't want to know anything about it, and of course, I don't want anyone else to know if they haven't read it themselves. But have you ever felt personally led in any direction as far as the guests that you have on?
Yes.
Or topics you want to cover?
Yes.
When I say led, I mean like...
Yes. Well, not. I don't know. All right, sir, thank you. Not necessarily led by the hand of God, if that's where you were going, and I think you were. I am led by curiosity, I am led by intuition, and I am led by, I hope, a pragmatic a journey toward facts. Now, not all facts, as I say in my intro to Dreamland, not all things are so easily put in a box. You know, you can't just put them in a box. They're not always scientifically verifiable, and they're certainly not always wrong. In the case of Gordon Michael Scallion, I have pursued him because of the many private conversations we've had, because I think he is 100% sincere. Now, he could also be wrong, okay? But I'm telling you, he's sincere. I'm pretty good over the years, you know, at talking to guests and judging people's credibility. It doesn't mean that I can be without error in that regard, but I guess I've said this before, and I'll say it again easily now. If there is such a thing as, and you saw Nightline the other night, didn't you? If there is such a thing as the real McCoy, from a psychic or intuitive point of view, Scallion's it. That's my absolute judgment. That doesn't mean I'm saying he's it. I'm saying if there is a real McCoy, he's the one. Now, what I started to tell you before I lost my train of thought earlier was that I'm pursuing a guest. I wonder if I really have that. Well, all right, I'll tell you. It is the major, military rank major, who actually started the Army's psychic program. And since the Nightline program the other night, he is now willing to come forward. And I don't have it locked up yet, but I bet I managed to get it. So stand by for that one, too. As you know, the military service, CIA, is in fact using psychics. They continue to do so and have been doing so for 20 years. And the major who began the Army's program has contacted me. On the first time caller line, you're on the air. Hello?
Yeah, yes, sir. Is this the Art Bell Show?
It is.
Oh, great. I listen to you on 1480.
Well, I'm on a lot of 1480s.
KYOS?
Oh, in Merced.
Oh, yes, sir.
Very good.
Anyway, I just had a few comments to make. I was wondering, what do you think about the weather this year?
Well, the people to ask would be in Alaska, and I asked them last night, and I got about 20 faxes after I went off the air, saying something is radically wrong with the weather here. Yeah, it's cold, 20 degrees below, but they've got almost no snow on the ground. What do I think? I think the weather is kind of screwed up.
Yeah.
We had one of the biggest hurricane seasons in all of history, so there you are.
I'll be darned. Yeah, the only reason I'm a farmer and I'm out in the weather a lot.
Yes, sir.
And here it is December 6th, and I haven't hardly needed a jacket.
Well, it is even strange here. Normally, I live, people think I'm in the arid desert, and I guess I am, but I have right in front of me an 11,900-foot mountain. It's right outside my door, just about. And by September mid, there should be snow up there. There is no snow up there, and this is coming up on mid-December. So
definitely something's going on, man.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. The jet stream is out of kilter. No question about it. That's why the Alaskans are not getting their snow. It's why the people in the Northwest are facing flood conditions. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How are you doing today?
All right. Where are you?
In Seattle.
Yes, sir.
This is Steve, the programmer up here. And I have a quickening report for you.
Okay.
This was very interesting. I didn't get burned, but I guess about $600,000 worth of people did. We had a company come up here, set up a little computer shop, and advertise the best prices in town. And turn around, in about 6 weeks, I would guess is how long that they were in business, took all the deposits for the orders, and then split town, I guess, here a couple days ago.
Sir, that's called crime.
Yeah, but it used to be people would pull into a convenience store and rob it or something like that.
Well, there's a lot of ways of taking people's money or taking people. And that's, you know, that's just a scam.
Yeah, but I don't know. I thought it was just incredible.
Well, I'm sure it is incredible. Were you a victim?
No, I escaped 2 weeks early.
Oh, good for you. All right. Thank you very much for the call. I suppose in a small individual component kind of way, that would be a sign of the quickening, wouldn't it?
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 6th, 1995. Presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired December 6, 1995.
Good morning, everybody. Under a full moon. Every time I say full moon, I get people messing with me about when the moon is actually full. I mean, this is typical. Art, small correction, if I may, about your thinking on the rising of this night's full moon. This full moon actually started its rise at 4:51 p.m. It will set tomorrow morning at 6:08 a.m. I know you like to be accurate, hence the reason for this correction. This full moon is indeed the harbinger of more than you could guess. Your warning message at the start of this night's program will turn out to be more prophetic than you now might think. Despite the coming events, it is a great time to be alive, and it's signed Stephen, an attempt to escape identification as a Steve. Well, it didn't work. I try to keep an... I'll tell you what we're talking about now, and I'm going to reread this to you, and a lot of people in the Bay Area are just joining us. They're just going to really be thrilled to death to hear this. I got a fax from Gordon Michael Scallion earlier in the day today, and I'm simply going to read it verbatim. Listen very closely, okay? And I want to... the warning is this is prophecy, and it doesn't... There's no automatic... This is going to come true stuff, but it is from somebody that I give some weight to. Dear Art, as you are aware, Japan's Kuril Islands were hit with a magnitude 8 earthquake, 8.0, this week. This is the first of four events I have predicted for the time frame beginning December of 1995. See the ECR Earth Changes report done in March of 95, when he put it on paper. And he goes on, it signals the beginning of my third four-quake scenario for 1995. Events will now progress quickly. On Friday, December 8th, 1995, I'm going to be releasing a press and media update to this prophecy, including potential events I see occurring in the U.S., as part of this scenario. I promise to keep you informed on the updates, and so I'm going to send you the latest release on Friday the 8th at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. I regret my health is such I cannot appear on your program due to its late airtime. 5 years of visions has taken its toll. I can, if you wish, discuss this update for up to an hour with you via phone at 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. Eastern on the 8th. That would now be tomorrow. Which, if appropriate for you and your listeners, could then be rebroadcast on your Friday night, Saturday morning program. He goes on, I do not wish to alarm anyone, but I sense we are very close to major geologic events occurring in the U.S. and elsewhere. Since both of my, now listen to this carefully, please, since both of my earlier four quake scenarios have now occurred in sequence and on time, I can only assume the potential now exists the complete four-quake scenario will occur. It will complete. May occur now. Even if the percentage of such an event occurring is low, I would still feel that everyone in high-risk areas should be prepared. No different than if a hurricane warning was posted. I pray the visions I'm seeing are wrong, and if it should turn out to be so, those who did prepare will be better prepared when it does occur. The scientific community and myself are no longer so far apart in our predictions. The only difference between us is the time frame and extent of damage. Sincerely, Gordon Michael. So, there you are. I got a fax in response to that from Mike in Madison. Dear Art, of course by now you know I am a believer in the quickening. All of my life, my own guru has warned and prepared me for it. Tonight, at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, he awakened me from my usual evening nap to tell me simply, it's time. To me, this is what I've expected, and always the teacher has put events in a, quote, future scenario, end quote, kind of painting. How utterly ironic that he chose tonight to tell me what he has always prepared me for. So as I drove through the winter cold and darkness tonight, I wondered what you would report on tonight, and now you two are aware. It's no joke, no fantasy, no illusion art. I know you know it. Food, water essentials, plan. Mike from Madison. And, yeah, I don't necessarily deny that I may feel that, but I may be affected. You know, when I got that fax from Gordon earlier, it hit me like a sledgehammer earlier in the day, and so I've been giving it a lot of thought all day. And that may well be affecting my thinking right now. I knew that what he had predicted had thus far come down. And you know, he didn't put it in the facts, but you'll recall many of you who have listened to the show for a while. He also predicted, before it began, the renewed activity of Vesuvius and Etna, and said that would be a key to watch for. So, in conclusion, his letter seems to be saying, this looks like it. So, there you are. Wildcard Line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Hi.
How you doing this morning?
I'm just fine.
All right. This is Mike again from Portland. Talked to you last night. I'll talk to you in today.
Okay, Mike.
So how are we doing?
We already covered that.
Okay. Well, you caught me on when we were talking about that Bigfoot last night. I mean, I don't mean to be on the thing forever, but you were talking about when you were a Boy Scout, you know, you asked me if I'd seen any Bigfoot. And I said no, and you asked about if they gobbled the one up. There's never been any report of anyone being, any Boy Scouts missing in the woods.
Boy Scouts are Bigfoot food, sir.
By whose right?
They eat them, they spit the merit badges out and gobble them down.
Who said that?
I did.
Well,
I mean, it's obvious, you know, Boy Scouts are young, tender, and they're in the woods.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yum, yum.
I'm getting back. You had that woman that came on one time, and she stated that she heard one, she saw one, she was hiding in her cabin.
Yeah.
Well, how could you, if you're hiding in your cabin, how could you see a Bigfoot if you're in fear and at awe of what the perceives going on?
Maybe she looked out the cabin window.
Well, if she was afraid, she wouldn't be by the window unless she's pretty stupid. I mean,
well, okay, sir. Well, it's non-productive for us to sit here and speculate about what she might or might not have done or why she did what she did. I watch horror movies. I know. Everybody knows. Women in low-cut dresses constantly go to the basement when they hear a noise. It's like a magnet. So going to a window, not unusual. No. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
Hi, I'm calling you from Pahrump.
From right here in Pahrump?
Right.
Yes, sir.
Okay, got your book. I ordered the first copy there. Love the book except for one thing.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be autographed.
It depended on when you ordered.
I ordered out of the first batch that came in.
Well, I don't know. We had certain dates, between certain dates.
Well, I mean, anyway, is there any way I can get an autograph on it?
Well, you never know. I may do an appearance here or there.
How about Smith's parking lot?
No.
Okay, just can you do a date on it? I heard some lady had called in earlier. In fact, I've been trying to get a hold of you since then.
I see. Should we ever meet, why, I'd be glad to autograph it for you.
Okay, I was just hoping there was some way I could get an autograph on it.
Well, we're talking about, we're talking about maybe doing a signing someplace, so we'll see.
Yeah, that was that deal you were talking about all the four personalities out the station?
No. No, I mentioned that last night. Mm-hmm. That is going to occur in Las Vegas, I think, in January. Sponsored by KVEG in Las Vegas, but I don't know that that will be it.
Oh.
Okay, so we'll get it done.
Okay.
I'm sure, one of these days.
One other thing, you were talking about last night, you don't really have any love for rabbits.
No.
None. That's because they've been eating your lines?
Well, yeah, the drip lines.
I've got a rabbit out here. I haven't seen them lately because I think the coyotes have come back, but I have a rabbit out here that's big enough to stop a Buick.
You only have one rabbit?
This is one great big jackalope out here.
I have herds of rabbits. I appreciate your call, sir, but here in where I am in Brum, and I don't want to really say where I am in the valley, but I have herds of rabbits. I don't have a rabbit. I don't have two rabbits or five or ten or 50 or even 100. I have herds of rabbits. I mean, so many rabbits that, that rabbit killing virus down in Australia? I'd have to think real hard. I mean, if I had a vial of that in my hand, I don't suppose I would do it because I really wouldn't want to commit rabbit genocide. But I'll tell you this, I would think really hard. I mean, I would hold that little vial of purple goop in my hand and I would say, I somebody sent me a fax and I guess I agree. I wouldn't do it. I really wouldn't do it. But I would think about it. We'll be right back. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, my name's Rob. I'm calling you from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm picking you up on WJR out of Detroit.
Boy, I'll tell you, that's a big signal.
And I'm in my car on my cellular phone. So
I can tell.
I thought I'd throw that in. I was just calling about, it was a remark I heard you make last night about a guy called in was talking about Michael News.
That's right.
He was talking about how, he was... you didn't agree with that because he was not following a lawful order.
That's correct.
Handed down. I mean, I can see that. My father was in the military. I never was, but, I grew up around that mentality. I can see where you're coming from there, but there's one thing I have to say about that.
One other thing, sir. Michael New did not get drafted. He joined.
Yeah, but see, also, I feel like that's irrelevant because it comes to a point that when I feel like our government goes too far, somebody has got to stand up and say no. Just like, I don't remember the lady's name, but the one black lady.
But sir, you are confusing, you're confusing the way you say no. You don't do it as a member of the military service. You get out of the military service, you run for office, you call your congressman, you get the U.S. out of the treaty that you don't like. You don't join the military where you swear to obey lawful orders.
Yeah, but you don't get the same people that put us in the mess we're in to get us out of it. The people that fired at the British soldiers in Lexington were breaking the law, but they got our country, they got the people, the colonists out from under the king's rule.
Look, if Michael New wants to do it the way he's doing it, that's fine. He can do it, and he will get exactly what you get when you disobey orders in the military, a court-martial, so he will get his day in court.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mean to call him and give you a hard time. I love your show.
Well, I appreciate that.
I just happened to go across it one night, and I listen. I get off work at 2 a.m. here Eastern Time, and that's when it comes on, and I love it.
Look, if I didn't have people giving me a hard time, I wouldn't have a show.
Well, that's right. Well, that's one thing I like about your show. No call screeners. There's some local shows here that have call screeners, and halftime they won't let me through. So.
All right. Well, I appreciate your call.
But I love your show, and you have a good evening.
Thank you. I'm an ex-military person. I know what it means to follow lawful orders. And I do not agree with the UN. I do not agree with our participation. I don't want our men under command of anybody else. Thank you very much. They need to be under the command of American officers. I agree with that. But I am able in my head to separate that. The United States has made lawful treaties with member nations of the UN. They are lawful treaties. They are the law of the land. When Michael New said he would not adorn that on his uniform, which he was ordered to, he was breaking a portion of the UCMJ that says you will obey lawful orders. And by God, it was lawful. Now, if you don't think it's lawful, you're out here in the private sector. Baby, you have a chance to change it. You get on the phone to your congressman or your senator and tell us to get the hell out of those treaties, to vote to get us out of those treaties. The proper way is for you to do it, for whoever doesn't like it to do it, not for Michael New to do it. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Hi, is this Art Bell?
Yes.
Hey, I'm right here next door in Las Vegas.
All right, KVEG.
I have no idea what station it is.
It's 840 on the dial. You better get used to it. 840-KVEG.
Right on. Are you familiar with the forecasted map where most of the western United States is underwater and Phoenix is a major seaport?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Do you think that this Mr. Scallion's predictions and this geographical activity are a prelude to this
event?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's about all I needed to know.
All right, sir. Have a good morning. In other words, if my recollection of the Scallion predictions is accurate, that is not what is about to occur right now. I believe, and this is supposition, this is Art Bell doing recollection of his interview with Mr. Scallion, all right? The four-hour interview. And by the way, I recommend to you that you get the four-hour interview we did with Gordon Michael Scallion on Coast. It is the most comprehensive, the longest interview, as far as I know, Gordon Michael Scallion has ever done anywhere. Now, if my recollection is correct, should this particular cycle of 8-point earthquakes manifest itself, there would then be a period of time where there would be a lot of refugees from the West Coast. I'm recalling this now from the long interview. There would then be another cycle of quakes that would be real earth movers, if you will. And those are the ones that would reshape the map. Now, that is my general recollection of the general tone of the last large interview we did with Gordon Michael Scallion. I would appreciate any of you jogging your memories and backing me up or correcting me. Okay, Art, I'm an ex-Marine like your mom. I'm sick and tired of hearing how U.S. forces in Bosnia will not be placed in harm's way. If we're going to do this, let's do it with the attitude that they had in 1776. Remember, don't tread on me. This not going into harm's way sounds wimpy. Well, he's right about that. They certainly are going into harm's way. That's Dennis from Missoula. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 6th, 1995. You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 6th, 1995.
Hi, everybody. Well, I guess Nightline did a piece on Gingrich's latest problems. And I got a fax from Larry, listening in KSFO land up there in the Bay Area. And he says, first, I don't understand why the press is so interested in Newt's improprieties, while Clinton, it seems, can literally get away with murder. Well, I know why. It's karma. It's get you back time. You'll recall, Newt Gingrich had a lot to do with getting Jim right. And he was vilified, and now Newt is being vilified. The Democrats going after Newt. That's all there is to it. It is a straight-on payback. You can be sure of it. A lot of the charges against Newt Gingrich are pure bull. But that doesn't matter. They're going after him anyway. It is political payback. That's all there is to it. They're going after him. Hey, Art, if you asked the dinosaurs 65 million years ago, would you like to be extinct? They would have said, bad idea. But if not for that change, we, as in Homo sapiens, would not be here. You, my friend, are just another dinosaur. Jeff and Pam from Eugene. Well, you're probably right. That doesn't change my answer. If they would ask me, do I want to be extinct, I would still respond, bad idea. Though I might be about to turn into somebody's future petroleum supply, I still think it's a bad idea. I just cannot get behind this new age, welcome it with open arms. You know, if it's coming, whatever change is coming, welcome it. The human condition is going to improve. Sure, oh yeah, well, maybe millions will die, but through it all on the other end, we're going to come out stronger, or not at all. Whatever the case is, that way of looking at it, I've been unable to bring myself to that point. I don't want major disasters and earthquakes. Thank you very much. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Roxanne. I'm in Bend, Oregon.
Hello, Roxanne.
Oh, this is a thrill. This is an absolute thrill.
Well, here you are.
I really appreciate your information on what's going on. We need to know. I think it's very informative. And the quickening is an excellent word for it, because when I was younger, I thought it was going to be happening in 5 years. I didn't know what to name it. And
neither
here we are. Here we are, 1995, almost 96.
Mm-hmm.
We're still here. And, you know, there was an argument in the 70s about the uniformists believed that everything happened over a slow period of time. Then there is the catastrophic believers, and they thought, well, things happened quickly. Volcanoes went off, all the earthquakes hit up and down the coast around the Ring of Fire. And I kind of go with the second, the catastrophic. And when Michael is talking about his visions and everything, I can understand that, too, because I've had dreams. And I think everybody's starting to get a little bit of edge
right now. I know. That's
getting that edge too?
Yeah, oh, I've had it for some time now, yes. But I don't know. Look, thank you. I don't know that I translate it personally. I'm not a visionary. I'm not an intuitive. I'm not a Gordon Michael Scallion. But I do think, and I think it is reasonable, that we are animals. You know, human beings, we're mammals, we're animals. And animals have instincts. We know they do. Birds, dogs, cats, they all react and feel things that we don't even know are going on, or sense them, or know they're coming, or feel danger that we don't feel. And it is, the word is instinctual. It's a good word. I don't know that we can put our finger on what it means, but I, for some time, have had an instinctual feeling that the other shoe is about to drop. I am disquieted by it, but I am not out of sorts with it. In other words, I don't dwell on it. It does not greatly affect my life because I can't put my hand up and stop an 8-point earthquake. If it is going to happen, it's going to happen whether I want it to or not. So I have a little bit of a sort of a dual attitude toward it. One is that I cannot stop it if it's going to occur. And the second is, I will be pragmatic. I will watch very carefully. If this particular cycle should continue with 8-point earthquakes, obviously, I will begin to take it more seriously by the moment. I will watch the Indian Ocean. I will watch South America and Mexico. Were I to begin to see the cycle completing, I would, I thought about it all day long today. And if there were several 8-pointers, I'm out of here. If it culminated with an 8-pointer somewhere on the West Coast, then that's it. I'm out of here. I'm not a dummy. You can do all the numbers crunching you want, but should this much of his prophecy come true, then I think it would be practical to imagine the rest of it would. Pragmatic. How do you feel about that? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hey, Art, how you doing? This is Joe from L.A.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, you know, you got to watch the quickening. You got to watch how many passports to Switzerland go through. And well, then you'll know that it's the quickening.
Really?
Yeah. Because that's where, if I ever tend to get any money, I'm going to go to Switzerland and live out my life.
Live out your life in Switzerland.
Yeah, right? Anyway, you know, because it's a nice country and it's neutral.
Well, I'm not sure it's exempt. I haven't had a good look at the map. I don't know what the Swiss have to face, but
yeah. Hey, anyway, what about the Bosnia and Bosnia and Herzegovina? It's the Mujahideen and the Shiite Muslims over there. How come Bill Clinton is backing some terrorist organizations there?
Well, the Mujahideen are supposed to be moving on out.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you get that from?
That's part of the peace agreement.
And what about the Shiite Muslims that are there? Are they going to calm down?
Muslims or? Are they going to calm down? How do I know? No, they're not. Is the killing going to stop there? No, it's not.
Yeah.
No, the answer is no. Thank you.
What about? Do you think that they'll spread their own terrorists? Maybe mortar their own troops, mortar some of our troops, and then put some Serb scarves down and berets down and stuff, and blame it on the Serbs?
Yes, I think so. Yes. Do I think that one faction will do something and try to blame it on the other? Yes. Don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure that one out. So, obviously, there's going to be trouble. I do agree with the faxer a little while ago. Once we go over there, once our military moves and we get people there, anybody who shoots at us had better be ready to be buried on the spot, as far as I'm concerned. That's the way we better react. That's the only way we can react. And it'll probably be an overreaction. But we're going to have to do that, and we're going to have to, and by God, we better be ready to do it. Not just with words, but with deeds. So anybody taking a pot shot, and it's going to happen at us over there, had better learn very quickly that they will die. You know? I don't know of any other way to put it. Wild card line, you're on the air.
KQMS, Redding, California.
Good morning.
You know what, Arthur?
I know a lot of things, dear. What do you have in mind?
I can feel your feelings. Isn't that weird?
I beg your pardon?
I said I can feel what you're feeling over the radio.
Well, then...
It's really weird.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't. I intend for you to be able to feel what I'm feeling.
You do?
Sure.
You mean like you send out psychic messages on purpose just so I will feel your feelings?
No, I say things in a specific tone and a way to convey my feelings. It's part of what I do.
This is different.
Not really.
Well, yeah, it is. This is why, like, I subscribe to two different electronics magazines and I don't know what they're saying. For no reason. Or I'm hit with the overwhelming desire to, like, solder things.
Now you've confused me. I don't know what the two have to do with each other. Why do you subscribe to electronic magazines when you have no idea what they mean?
I don't. I don't know why. I'll just be sitting there going, what do I have this magazine for? And they keep coming to my house.
That's like me subscribing to a knitting magazine or something.
Uh-huh. You know what I mean? I have no idea what they're saying. That's really weird.
Yes,
like
it is.
I like it when you talk about your wife the best.
Why?
I don't know. It's really cool. You guys kind of like get this really warm, mushy feeling. You're so mushy, Arthur. It's funny.
Well, I love my wife.
I know.
That's not mushy. It's just,
It's very beautiful. Actually, you know what's really cool? Is I've never felt love before. And so now I have something to aim for.
That is something to aim for. In fact, it's the best reason to hang around, be alive.
I think so, too.
All right. Thanks, dear. Without love, why all of this would not be tolerable, would it? Without love, there would not be a great reason to exist, save for existing and moving through your actions on a daily basis. No, love is a very important component in life, huh? Wildcard line, you're on the air.
Yes, Art, I disagree with you on this thing about this serviceman who's refused to wear any UN decorations and things.
Based on what?
Well, I listened to his defense attorney, all right, who was being interviewed on a local show, and he brought out and he read chapter and verse of the Universal Code of Military Justice. It said you won't wear anything on your uniform that has not been approved by Congress, and that was or as a uniform, and that was...
Sir?
Yes, sir?
When Congress approves a treaty, it becomes the supreme law of the land.
Yes, sir. You and I both know that treaties, all right, right now it's the president's word. And the president's word, in order to become a treaty, has to be done with advice and consent and approval of two-thirds of the U.S. Senate. And I think you're well aware of that.
That is a treaty, yes.
And we have nothing in the NATO treaty which obligates us to go into something like this. And what's worse
now,
about...
Now, wait a minute. Now you're talking about Bosnia.
Yes, but essentially NATO's going in there. France is coming out. It's not NATO, all right. Okay, Great Britain... And Germany and the United States are very much NATO, and and as you're well aware also, I think what Schwarzkopf says is true, that the United States is rapidly becoming overextended. We have...
That's a different... No, sir. All right, thank you. Look, that's a different argument. You're drifting all over the place there. It's a different argument. What I said is that Michael New had a lawful order, and he disobeyed it, and he's in the military. And if you want to change that... then change the treaties that make it a lawful order. You don't do that inside the military as a ground pounder. You understand? This is what I just somehow I can't get through to people. When you hold up your hand, you go into the military, you say you will accept lawful orders, constitutional orders. Well, this is a constitutional order. When you disobey it, you get court-martialed. That's how it works in the military under the UCMJ. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Art, Herbert Pope calling you from Fairfax, California. I need to turn my radio down just for half a second.
Turn it off, actually.
Okay, will do.
All right. Everybody remember to do that when you... In fact,
hi there. It's been a while.
Okay.
And I got two items for you this morning. The first is it true with Newt's reform of Medicare... that, I'm a 33-year-old of moderate income, and I understand under his plan, I would be liable if my parent ever became indigent in a nursing home.
No, I had not heard that.
Yeah, well, I had heard it's up to $38,000 a year, and I don't know if that's true. I'm putting that question out to your audience because it really scares me.
Okay, no, I was not aware of that at all.
Yeah. The other thing, on French nuclear testing... there is an 800 number that I'd like to give you off the air that you can call. And
I can't take numbers off the air. If you can fax it to me, fine, but I'm the only one here, so when I leave you, I go to another call.
Oh, well, I'll fax it to you then. It's a number that you can call to sign an electronic petition and learn what French products to boycott. And it's essentially trying to shut down France and all the products made there. So
because of the nuclear testing.
I'm sorry?
Because of the nuclear testing.
Exactly. Get them to stop by turning the economic screws.
No.
Yeah.
That's probably a good idea, sir. Thank you very much. And my fax number is area code 702-727-8499. 702-727-8499. And I am all for getting the French to stop that idiotic testing out in the Pacific. And that doesn't make me a tree hugger. Again, I'm very pragmatic about it, and I think nuclear detonations are a bad idea. We know by now they work. There should be some sort of universal test ban treaty. It should stop. I do agree with that, by the way. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Hi, I heard something in the news a couple months ago that had to do with a military order about a fellow who refused to fly with women because it was against his religion, and for that reason they let him go. They didn't charge him or anything. Do you know anything about that?
He wouldn't fly with women.
Yeah, it was, I don't know if it was Air Force or if it was Navy flight, but it was on the news, the regular...
Well, I certainly would not consider that to be a legitimate or lawful reason to refuse an order, so that person, too, probably should have been court-martialed.
Yeah, from the news report, it sounded like they just said... No.
Well, maybe they had him go see a doctor. Who said that he was in some way disturbed and he got a discharge other than that through a court-martial. You follow me?
Okay, one other thing about
who knows?
Richard Hoagland and Scallion. You had Richard Hoagland on, and at one point you were talking about Scallion with him, and Richard Hoagland was saying that Scallion gets his information from somewhere else. Now, what did he mean by that?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Richard.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
It's great. You have all these people on, and... And Moira, too, she was great. And you're having Brian O'Leary on. That's really cool. I have him on
coming
video.
Coming up this Sunday, yes. Thank you very much. He is a former astronaut, though he did not make it into space. He was scheduled to go on the Mars mission, the one we canceled. We'll be right back. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hey, Heart Baby, what's happening?
You.
Well, you know, you got something in common with Bill Clinton, because I was listening last night, and that truck driver was talking to you about drafting.
Drafting?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes.
And you didn't want to really tell him how you did it, you know, because so you were kind of dodging the draft question. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir. You must have probably thought about that one all night and then tried for about 2 hours to get through to say that. Dodging the draft question. I didn't want people to try it out there, you know. It's really obviously extremely dangerous and stupid, and it's something you do when you're young and don't know any better. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
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 Okay.
All righty.
Talk to Art Bell.
That's me.
All right. I can't believe that.
Come on, let's rock. Time is money.
Oh, all right. All right, I want to talk about your theme music, Cusco.
Yes.
You didn't play it tonight.
Well, I could play it any time I want.
Well, Cusco is Cusco. You know, that's one of the main reasons I listen to Art Bell.
For the music?
Yes.
Really?
Your theme song. Yeah.
You like that?
Oh, yes. Art Bell is Cusco.
Cusco is Art Bell. Art Bell is Cusco. We could chant that. Well, okay, everybody. That marks the end of this hour. We'll be back.
You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 6th, 1995. You're listening to Art Bell Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 6th, 1995.
Live talk radio in the nighttime because this radio station cares enough to have it on for you. While the competition repeats, regurgitates, recycles relentlessly, again and again and again, I'm Art Bell. Good to be with you. The president has vetoed the Republicans' budget, says he'll come up with his own. Cut in different places, still do it in 7 years. We'll see. Be interesting to see. That should be, he says, submitted today. Sent all the way down to the Lyndon Baines Johnson Memorial Library to get the pen, the very pen used by Lyndon to do the veto. Then when he pulled it out, by the way, it wouldn't write. Couldn't get any ink to come out of it. And I'll leave that there. They're going after Newt Gingrich. 10-0 vote in the Ethics Committee to go after Gingrich. It'll be a narrow inquiry, special counsel-type deal. The Democrats are going after Gingrich big time, vilifying him. His approval rating down, disapproval rating way up. It is payback time. Jim Wright was the one pretty much done in by Newt Gingrich. And this is political payback, there's no doubt about it. Newt's not taking it real well. He said yesterday he's just about had it. Newt has come to that point before, and almost sounding like he's going to quit, you know, walk away. But he didn't do it, and my guess is he will not this time. First time I actually thought he might. He was really discouraged. The big news, such as it is, I'm sorry to say, comes from Gordon Michael Scallion. And there are a lot of radio stations joining at this hour, so I am going to read to you exactly what Gordon sent me earlier today. Okay? Dear Art, as you are aware, Japan's Kuril Islands were hit with a magnitude 8.0 earthquake this week. This is the first of four events I have predicted for the time frame beginning in December of 1995. See Earth Changes report, published in March of 95. It signals the beginning of my third four-quake scenario for 1995. Events will now progress quickly. On Friday, December 8th, I will be releasing a press and media update to this prophecy, including potential events I see occurring in the U.S. as part of this scenario. I promise to keep you informed on any updates, and I will send you the latest release on Friday the 8th at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. He goes on, I regret my health is such I cannot appear on your program due to its late airtime. 5 years of visions has taken its toll. I can, if you wish, discuss this update with you for up to an hour via phone at 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. Eastern on the 8th, which is Friday, and I have taken him up on the 2 p.m. Eastern time, 11 o'clock here. So I will record that should it occur and play it back Friday night to Saturday morning, which he suggests I could do. He goes on, I do not wish to alarm anyone, but I now sense we're very close to major geologic events occurring in the U.S. and elsewhere. Since both of my earlier, this is an important line, since both of my earlier four quake scenarios have occurred in sequence and on time, I can only assume the potential now exists, the complete four quake scenario, which has just begun, may now occur. Even if the percentage of such an event occurring is low, I would still feel that everyone in high-risk areas ought to be prepared, no differently than should a hurricane warning be posted. I pray the visions I'm seeing are wrong, and if it should turn out to be so, those who prepared will be better prepared for when it does occur. The scientific community and myself are no longer so far apart in our predictions. The only difference between us is the time frame and extent of damage. Sincerely, Gordon Michael. So there you've got it. I've been the lucky guy who's been chewing on this fax all day long, trying to decide what to do with it. Now, it's only prophecy. It doesn't mean it's going to come true. However, I've been watching and monitoring very carefully the prophecy of Gordon Michael Scallion. And I must tell you, it has been terribly accurate in that time I have been watching. And I could name the Caribbean volcanic action. I could name Mount Vesuvius and Etna. I could name the cycles of quakes he has predicted accurately thus far. He predicted the final cycle would begin, should it occur, in December of 95. He predicted all this back in March. It's documented. Now, your attitude about prophecy is your attitude, and you may consider it pure bunk. I'm not sitting here saying it's going to happen, but I do not consider it pure bunk. Okay? And I say that based on his accuracy record, insofar as I've been able to watch it, number one. Number two, I have a pretty good sense of people. You know, even though I let people come on here and say what they want to say, I generally know when I'm hearing bunk. I leave that up to you to decide when you're hearing bunk. In my private conversations with Gordon Michael, as well as my public ones, there's not a lot of difference, frankly. He is as passionate and devoted and believing in what he says privately as he is publicly. So it is all up to you, and you can dismiss it, but I will do this on Friday, and I will play it back Friday night, Saturday morning for you, and we will ask the appropriate questions. Several other faxes. Art Susie here, Orange County, Southern California. I'm the gal I said I feel like a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Couldn't get more nervous than that. Well, I've not been able to listen to you since early last week, but for 3 days I've been having those headaches and that feeling. Told my husband 2 days ago, I'm going to the store, I'm going to stock up on cases of canned goods and get more water. Something is going to happen. Can only presume that all of us who have had those feelings are in tune, so to speak. Will you do an interview with Scallion and upload it to us Friday night? Thank you. Yes. Assuming it comes off, I certainly will. This from Fairbanks, Alaska. Bob, Linda, and Alex sent it. Art, the last few days in Fairbanks have been rather cold, ranging from lows of minus 60 degrees Fahrenheit in the low-lying areas to highs in the minus 30 degree Fahrenheit area. Too cold, in fact, to turn the satellite dish to listen to the first 2 hours of Coast Live. Tonight, it's up to 23 below. The temperatures are not unusual, but the shallow snowpack definitely is. If we don't get a lot more snow, the frost, according to the experts, could reach 12 feet into the ground, and that will raise hell with the water lines and septic systems. You've got to remember, snow acts as a blanket. As to the latest Clinton approval poll, and it is 51% now, don't you think the question asked when something like this, do you want to see peace in Bosnia? Yeah. It could have. Somebody faxed me and said I was nothing but a dinosaur, referring to what's coming. Art, with respect to the comments about the dinosaurs, 65 million years ago. Let's go back to the beginning, shall we? 2 to 4 billion years ago, so the story goes, there was nothing but water and chemicals from dissolved rocks. Did the rocks care? How do you get personality from rocks? In other words, then, it don't matter. You might just as well accept the pointlessness of life. I'm glad I have more than this, Bob W. The pointlessness of life. I don't feel that. at all. How many of you feel that way, that life is really quite a pointless thing? It is not. There are many validations and reasons for life, and one is consciousness, and one is love, and there are many, many things you could cite as reasons for living, for life. This is interesting. Jim in Custer, Washington, Jim and Don, say, "Hey, Art, my reliable sources, plural, say that Texas just declared their sovereignty." Well, I wonder what he means by that. They passed a Tenth Amendment provision, or they're leaving the Union, or what exactly, Jim and Don, do you mean? I hadn't heard about that. First time caller line, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Art.
Good morning.
I've listened to you for a couple of years, and I have two questions to ask you. I'm genuinely amazed that every time you tie into President Clinton's, one of his harebrained policies, that shortly thereafter, Doc Democrat gets a hold of you. Could it be that Doc Democrat is actually Slick Willie in disguise, and does he have a private phone line to you?
No.
He doesn't.
Nobody has a private phone line to me. Well, that's untrue. There is one hotline here, but I use that to talk to the network, and it cannot be put on the air.
Okay,
so
I
have five. No, you want to know, I'm telling you, so everybody knows. I have five airlines. Not airlines. Lines I can put on the air. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All those numbers are public.
Yes, sir, I understand.
Are you a first-time caller?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
that's Don from Reno.
That's a line you're on.
Okay. All right, thank you very much, Art, and I enjoy your show very much.
Oh, thank you. What Doc does is, and he's told me, he goes to a line of phone booths, and he just keeps dialing, quarter after quarter after quarter. He keeps dialing on many phones until he gets through. All of my lines, every single one of them, is an airline. In other words, it can only go on the air. The numbers I give out are the only lines I've got. I've got no secret line, and I don't want one. These are all public lines, period. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, Art?
Yeah, sir. Turn your radio off, please.
Okay. Yeah, I was talking about Bosnia.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Bill Clinton should pull us out right away.
Well, we're hardly even in there yet.
Well, we're heading there. We shouldn't even go.
Well, it's a little late for that. I mean, they're already arriving.
Well, hope there's nothing like Vietnam or, like, they think it's going to be Kuwait. Our boys over there is what they're thinking. They think they're coming out of the holes with the white flag. It's not going to happen.
No, it's not. We're walking into an entirely different situation in Bosnia. It's going to be cold. There's dense cover. It's mountainous. And it's not going to be good duty. It's not going to be easy duty. It's going to be rough. It's going to be cold. It's going to be miserable. It's going to be hard to tell who your enemy is. And there's likely going to be terrorism. And there are 6 million mines buried in the ground. No. It's not going to be good at all. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
This is Charlie, liberal in California.
Of course.
First of all, two points, quickly last. Let me say first of all that... Oh, Newt's really getting it, isn't he?
Yes.
This is what the extremists deserve. They deserve what's happening to Newt Gingrich. They're the ones that put him there, and this is what's happening to him.
Did you think Jim Wright deserved everything that occurred to him?
Well, the thing about Jim Wright is that he wasn't an extremist. He was a moderate Democrat. and the Republicans...
Yeah, Charlie, but that's like saying one person's patriot is another person's terrorist. Come on.
Well, I don't care. I don't care. You know what? I think the Democrats are wrong. I think they're wrong to attack Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich can keep his position. Let him stay the heck where he is. And as far as I'm concerned, it's like the Democrats having Jesse Jackson as Speaker of the House. I mean, that's
In other words, you would feel a real loss if they should actually get Gingrich.
Exactly. But you know what's going to happen in 1996?
What?
The Republicans will be framed as being extremists. That's what the Democrats are doing right now.
Keyword is framed. You may be exactly right. I mean, the president is in the process of doing that, Charlie, and with some degree of success,
why do you think he's having this success? I think because every single political attack sometimes has a tinge of truth to it.
Well,
and I certainly think
Charles, he just vetoed the budget. I think the president is having success because the American people say they want a balanced budget. They say they want to pay down the debt, but when it really comes down to it, they really don't. And Clinton serves up that kind
Well, I think it's because the American people understand that they want a balanced budget, but they care about their environment, they care about the elderly people, whereas the Republicans obviously don't. That's the difference. Let me say lastly on this quickening thing.
Yeah.
You know something? I had one of my friends was listening to your show, and he was very upset with what you had to say about the quickening. He tends to think that you believe and correct me if I'm wrong, but you believe that the world or the United States is headed towards some irresistible, perilous doom that they cannot stop. Is that correct?
I think there is going to be a change. Do not translate that mean I think it's going to be the end of the world. I haven't said that.
You think it's going to be a calamity?
There's going to be a big change.
A coming calamity.
I believe
that. We cannot avoid.
To answer your question,
Look, we're going into the next century. You're absolutely you have some good points. You're absolutely correct. We face problems that are unparalleled for any other. So, you know, you look at, there's going to be 3 million people in prison in the next 20 years. And certainly there's untold social problems in this country. But I don't know. I don't necessarily think that means that we're headed towards some calamity that cannot be avoided. But it can be avoided.
All right.
So I think you're a doomsayer.
Okay. Thank you. So be it. I'm not saying it's the end of the world. I think that we're headed towards something. Yes, I do. I don't deny that. Why did you even really have to ask the question? Doom? I don't think it's doom. To me, that means the end of the world. A change? Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. And I believe that we are accelerating toward it. I do believe that. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi.
Well, hi, Art. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Now, I was reviewing a tape by Stan
Deo. Yes, sir.
The first time you talked to him.
Yes.
And at the end of his tape, he said that there was going to be a disaster from the West Coast to the Rocky Mountains.
Yes.
And it seems to be coming true, and Park City here in Utah, which is just up in the mountain area, had 2 earthquakes yesterday.
I'm very well aware of them, and you know something very interesting?
What?
If you check the latitude of those earthquakes, and you check the latitude of the earthquakes in north of Tokyo, you will find exactly similar latitudes.
That is very interesting. I hadn't thought of that. I thought maybe it was just a couple of old mine shafts caved in. But
I'll tell you, you get a globe and you plot those earthquakes, and then you look across at the latitude, about 850 miles north of Tokyo. Take a look-see. Now you'd be in for a major surprise. We're here at the bottom of the hour. We're going to break. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 6th, 1995.
presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired December 6, 1995.
Good morning, everybody. Good to be here. For the lady who wanted the Cusco, you're hearing it now. This is Cusco. It's all over my show. And this is from a Apurimac. Apurimac 1, as a matter of fact. And yes, the lady was right. That is me. I fell in love with that music. Absolutely fell in love with it. It's wonderful. Back to the phones again. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, I have a question. It's like, I saw something on one of my email things on that there was an earthquake in Timor somewhere around December 5. And they have one saying like a 6.4 earthquake or whatever, and that was Timor is in the Indonesia, Malaysia area.
You are correct. There was a 6.4 in Indonesia. That would not...
Yeah, but is that the only one that there was, or was there another one?
Well, there was no, there was not another one with it so far in terms of the 8 quake, you know, the large quake scenario. Only the one north of Tokyo has thus far occurred.
When did that one occur?
Right at the very beginning of December. I'm sorry, I don't, somewhere here, I'm sure I've got the data, but...
That's okay.
It was like the second or something.
I was surprised at getting it. I just dialed.
I see.
This is Pamela. I'm listening to you on COGO, even though I get you on KABC also.
Okay, well, I'm glad you've got us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hi, Art. From the night shift at Rome and Haas, Texas, Inc., chemical plant in Houston, Texas, we listen every night on 740 KTRH. Your nightly discussion and topics set the tone for our nightly discussion as we pass the time here at work. Well, I wonder what they're talking about this morning. Love Dreamland, he says. Don't forget, we've got a former astronaut coming on this weekend. Even though he did not fly, he was due to go on the Mars mission, manned Mars mission that we now only dream about. He would have been in, those of you that saw Apollo 13 know, and he would have heard a lot of astronaut talk. And you can be sure this coming Sunday on Dreamland, we will ask him about it. You can be sure. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Dr. Democrat.
Well. The night is now complete.
Hey, if the Republicans were smart, they would ask Newt Gingrich to resign. I'm serious, because you know it and I know it. He's going to bring the Republican Party down next year, district by district.
I don't know that at all. You may know it. You may think you know it.
They found him guilty on 3 charges already. That's enough, as you know, Art.
Oh, well, wait a minute. No. Nobody found him guilty on anything.
Yes, they did. The committee. They found him 3 charges.
No. No, the Ethics Committee is investigating, Doc.
No, Art. I beg the pardon with you.
Well, you
they
beg
found
all
him
you want.
Guilty.
No.
They found him guilty for soliciting on the floor for self-interest, self-gain. Read the papers tomorrow. I'm right. They found him guilty.
All right.
The other charges.
And what is the punishment that they are leveling for this?
Well, the case is not over. They're going to have a special.
But wait a minute. I thought you said they found him guilty. That sounds like a court.
That's so far. Yes, they did. But that's so far. My point is this, Art.
Yeah.
Perception is 99% of politics anyhow.
In Doc's world, it is.
Yeah, well, it just is. When the people see this sleazy stuff, they don't
sleazy.
Like it.
Resurrecting,
all, what's
resurrecting the word sleazy from the old Jim Wright days, are you, Doc?
Well, certainly, and he had to go, so that's why, in the name of fairness, Newt Gingrich has to go.
Yeah.
But, no, he's going to bring the Republicans down, because every time he opens his mouth about the budget or anything else, he's already been discredited.
Doc, I thought you said that leadership, as applied to President Clinton, meant that you had to do things that were unpopular with the people. Isn't that what you said, Doc?
Sometimes you do.
Well, then why wouldn't that be true for Newt Gingrich?
Because it's not. It's a different case.
Of course it is.
Just like our courts.
Oh,
let me
God.
Tell you something.
What day of the month do you get your check from the White House?
Well, that's a secret because I don't pay any taxes.
I had a feeling.
What I want to say is Clinton has already won the priority on the budget. He has won priority spending, the priorities on tax cuts. He's already won that. There's no question about it.
Well, he hadn't won anything yet. He vetoed something, Doc. The final shape of things to come, whether or not there's going to be a seven-year budget, that's all to be bargained.
Right, but Clinton's going to propose deeper welfare cuts. That's going to sell with American people.
Well, proposing and disposing are two different things.
Yeah, but he's also going to have a safety mechanism that the tax cuts won't kick in until we have a balanced budget. That's going to sell with the American people. He's going to have $140 billion less Medicare cuts. That's going to sell. He's going to readjust the priorities, so he's definitely going to win that, no question about it.
One little problem.
What's that?
And that is that to balance the budget in 7 years, the numbers have got to come from somewhere.
That's right.
Wait a minute now. And when our president has to tell the country the way the Republicans already had the guts to do where he's going to get the money, then there's going to be a problem.
Well, no, there isn't. Because
last night on the news,
for instance, the Republicans proposed $270 billion in Medicare cuts. He's proposing $124. The way he's going to pay for that is less tax cuts.
All right.
He's listened to focus groups, Art.
All right, Doc, thanks. Look, I know how Clinton does business. You're right. He listens to focus groups. He reads polls, and he acts based on that. It's called the old wet finger to the wind, a way of doing politics, and that's our president, all right. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Is this Art Bell?
It is. Turn your radio off, please.
Okay, I was just wondering if you had ever heard of a book called Angels Don't Play This Harp?
Authored by Dr. Nick Begich.
Yes.
I interviewed him a few days ago. Where were you?
I wasn't able to get to the radio and...
Well, that's too bad because we did a four-hour interview with him and you missed it.
Yeah, well, I got his book here anyway and I've been reading it. It is fascinating.
Yes, it is.
So, I just wondered if you'd ever heard of it.
Yes, sir, I have heard of it.
Great, so...
Okay, thank you very much for the call. Sure, I've heard of it. As I say, and I now repeat, we did a four-hour interview with Dr. Nick Begich on HARP. We'll be right back. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Bell.
Hello.
Today, I'm calling from Minneapolis.
Yes, ma'am.
Today is Pearl Harbor Day, isn't it?
Well, December 7th is today, December 7th?
Right, 1941.
No, today is the 6th, dear.
Oh, today's the 6th?
Yep.
Oh, tomorrow's Pearl Harbor Day.
Yes.
The 7th, okay. Now, what I was going to say was that when that happened, December the 7th, 1941, the war really started in Europe in 1939. I think it was September 1st officially when Germany invaded Poland. And, of course, Germany had Czechoslovakia already.
Yes.
But that was the day, September the 1st, 1939, that England and France declared war on Germany. Now, in 1940, the Germans invaded Denmark. Okay.
Try and give me a sense of why we're reviewing all this history.
Well, just one thing. When they invaded Denmark and Norway, Belgium, Holland, and France,
yes.
1940, France was out of it, and England was fighting alone. And when we got into the war, December the 7th, 1941, because they have the nerve to criticize Mr. Roosevelt, the Japanese already had the whole east coast of China. They had all of Southeast Asia, practically, and the Germans were occupying at least 15 countries on the European continent.
Okay, and
okay,
so where... Okay, now, hold, stop.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful lesson. Where are you going with this?
Well, that how on earth can anyone criticize Mr. Roosevelt? They say he should have went in before the war, and then they say he should have never gotten involved. Suppose, God forbid, if that was a just war, if there was any war on the face of the earth, if we didn't get involved...
Ma'am, all right, thank you. Look, I don't know why you're trying to set up a debate about that war. We've got a debate going on right now. I mean, we're dispatching American men and women... By the tens of thousands to Bosnia. So we don't need to review and rehash, except as history serves us to remember, all the wars of the past and whether or not Roosevelt knew the Japanese were coming and all the rest of all that baloney that people still talk about. We've got real flesh and blood headed over to Bosnia right now. Sorry to say. God, we're making such a mistake. This is really a mistake. You better believe I support our troops, but the policy, it's a big mistake. And to go over there and say we're going to spend 1 year and we're not going to arm the Bosnians, then we're going to leave. I don't know where this guy's coming from. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, good morning, RKEX. Great to get through. Kind of comment on Bosnia. But,
sure.
But before that, I got a quick one-liner I just heard on CB Radio, a lawyer line, a lawyer jab. What do you get when you cross a crooked lawyer with a crooked politician? A Chelsea. I'm sorry.
Jeez,
anyway.
That's terrible.
Art, on this Bosnia thing, Monday night here in Portland on the ABC affiliate, they showed the troop dispersal,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't heard you talk about it. Here's what they showed, and they showed the graphics. 20,000 to Bosnia, these are Americans, 20,000 to Bosnia,
yes.
5,000 to Croatia, and 3,000 to Hungary. I thought that was significant because it's the first time in 30 or 40 years that American, you know, NATO forces have been allowed in the former communist country.
It's true.
And I was startled. And then, so that equals 28,000. And then yesterday...
Oh, include the carriers off the coast.
Well, yesterday they said 20,000 and 18,000 in support of the 20,000
yep.
for a total of sudden. So now we're up to 38.
I know. We're approaching 40,000. I agree.
But Art, what concerns me is what if North Korea, Iraq, some
yep.
of these characters decide to drop the hammer? What are we going to do? We don't have that many active divisions anymore.
Our military is now one-third smaller than it was after Desert Storm.
Well, I still say this is a disaster, but I still say that thank God for the talk radio format where we can discuss it, because we're just not.
Well, we can talk about it, but I'm beginning to feel a little powerless about doing anything about it. You know, I kind of thought, well, Bob Dole, who would you know, carry the banner, and he could have, but he didn't.
No.
Gingrich could have, but he hasn't.
No.
There will be a, as soon as Bob Dole can twist enough arms, an expression of support from the Senate for this madness.
Well, I'm going to support the troops, but I am not going to, I'll never support this policy, so we'll just see what happens.
It's crazy, huh?
It sure is, Art, and I sure appreciate your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. As I said, we live in an age, obviously, where insanity can be accomplished without the need for justification, where we can just dispatch people without a national security reason to possibly their death. And there's nothing we can do about it. Crazy, huh? Absolutely crazy. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Beastie Bob from Columbia, Missouri, listening to you on KFRU.
Beastly Bob?
Yes, from Columbia, Missouri.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I was wanting to call and tell you or answer a couple of your questions that you've been talking about lately.
All right.
And that starts with Bosnia.
Yes.
I think we have I have a nice way of sabotaging them over there and solving a little piece over there.
What would you do?
Send them marijuana.
Send them marijuana.
Yes, they'll be stoned and they'll...
Well, are you aware that the name of the operation is Operation Joint Venture?
For a cause.
Do you know that?
Yep.
Yep. So,
and,
Maybe great minds or stone minds think alike.
Yeah. And I also believe that... I firmly believe there won't be world peace until marijuana is legalized.
You mean to legalize marijuana would bring world peace?
If it was... Well, see, also, I want to quote someone for you, Bill Hicks. Not only should marijuana be legalized, but it should be mandatory.
Mandatory?
Everyone.
A joint for each basket.
Yes.
That'd be the slogan.
Exactly.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. World peace through pot. You will smoke your joint? You will do it now? We will monitor you? You will be stoned or you're out of here. Ah, it's a big full moon out there. Have you seen the moon out there? Go take a look. I would rather do a full moon show than any other kind of show in the world. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. And there is a further demonstration of the lunar cycle. Wild card line, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling from KENI country.
Up in Anchorage.
Yes.
The nearly snowless but cold Anchorage.
Yes, the fourth least snowiest winter we've had on record.
How cold is it right now?
Oh, I don't know exactly. Probably about, probably at least 10 below or so. I'm not sure.
10 below zero, 20 below, something like that.
Maybe 20 below, yeah.
Yeah.
But
a lot of people in Anchorage, the way I remember it, there's a lot of parties that start going on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, just call me the anti-extremist.
You're an anti-extremist?
No, I am the anti-extremist.
As opposed to the Antichrist?
As opposed to, what's his name, Dr. Democrat and, what's his name, liberal, whatever the heck?
Charlie
Liberal, yeah. This is the anti-extremist. Because they are the extremists. And I do want to say something about the stealth aircraft, but first I want to respond to those Democrats that have called. They've been in power so long, and they do not like losing power.
No.
And as far as I'm concerned, the Democrats' agenda is against the poor, against the middle class, and against the elderly, and against the children. If you look at any of their policies, they're all self-centered. All they want to do is get reelected back in to pass laws that are against the populace. And I don't want to get too far into that, but I do want to say something you've been talking about, or you have talked in the past about stealth aircraft, and you had mentioned that there's some studies that say that the stealth aircraft don't even really work. Do you recall saying anything like that?
Well, I know the F-117 works very well, thank you. The B-2 doesn't work very well.
Stealth bombers, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to mention, first, with the stealth aircraft, you have a stealth mode and a non-stealth mode.
Yeah.
Okay, and also,
no matter how stealthy they tried to make the B-2, sir, it is seen on radar. So, that's what I meant when I said it didn't fully work, and there have been a lot of tests with the B-2, and it has not been able to. But then, on the other hand, I haven't seen one. How about the rest of you? Have any of you seen any B-2s? So maybe it does work. Maybe they don't have the same kind of stealth system. Maybe they've got the Klingons cloaking system. Okay, here are two contrasting faxes on the Michael New thing. Dear Art Bell, you pompous realist, how dare you bring into the Michael New discussion military law and the duty of an enlisted man? Don't you realize that in the modern world, the feelings and desires of the individual supersede the unfair rules that society imposes upon us? Why, the next thing you know, you'll be advocating self-sacrifice for a higher ideal. Shame on you. That's from Martin in Alameda. And then this, Art, you keep saying we just don't get it about Michael New. Guess we must be stupid out here. I think we do. He did not follow an order, and yes, he should be court-martialed. But he knew, no pun intended, I'm sure, that under those circumstances, he challenged UN authority versus our constitutional authority. I think your initial statement is, should we be discussing, is he a hero? Joe at KCMO, no, Joe. I don't think so. Not my estimation. To me, somebody who disobeys a lawful order is not a hero. Now, I realize to some who would call themselves and do patriots, it is a very patriotic, proper thing to do. But if you want to argue Constitution, then you've got to understand that under the Constitution, we can make treaties, and they are the supreme law of the land. And if you want to change some, you change the treaty. You don't say, no, sir, I'm not going to do that. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 6th, 1995. To Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 6th, 1995.
I just got a fax from Tony, who said, do not read on the air, please. And so I'm not going to. It is about Stan Deo. Tony had just spoken with Stan Deo down in Australia, way down under in Perth, Australia. So, I believe in going straight to the source, and since Tony doesn't want me to tell what Stan wants to say, I'm going to let Stan say it for himself. I've got Stan from Perth, Australia, on the line. First, I want to read, and I know he's listening, the scallion facts that I've got. Here it is, Stan. Dear Art, as you are aware, Japan's Kuril Islands were hit with a magnitude 8.0 earthquake this week. This is the first of four events I have predicted for the time frame beginning December of 95. See the Earth Changes report in March of 95. It signals the beginning of my third four-quake scenario for 1995. Events will now progress quickly. On Friday, December 8th, 1995, I will be releasing a press and media update to this prophecy, including potential events I see occurring in the U.S. as part of this scenario. I promise to keep you informed on any updates, and I will send you the latest release on Friday the 8th at 9 a.m. Eastern. I regret my health is such that I cannot appear on your program due to its late airtime. 5 years of visions has taken its toll. I can, if you wish, discuss this update for up to an hour with you on the phone at 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the 8th, which, if appropriate for you and your listeners, could be rebroadcast on your Friday or Saturday evening, in other words, Friday night, Saturday morning. I do not wish to alarm anyone, but I sense we are very close to major geological events occurring in the U.S. and elsewhere. Since both of my earlier four quake scenarios have occurred in sequence and on time, I can only assume the potential now exists that the complete four quake scenario, which has just begun, may now occur. Even if the percentage of such an event occurring is low, I would still feel that everyone in high-risk areas should be prepared, no different than a hurricane warning. I pray the visions I'm seeing are wrong. Should it turn out to be so, those who prepared will be better prepared for when it does occur. The scientific community and myself are no longer so far apart in our predictions. The only difference between us is the time frame and extent of damage. Sincerely, Gordon Michael. Well, that's the prophecy end of it. The guy who watches the thermal areas of the Earth is on the line with me from Perth, Australia. Yo, Stan, it's Artichoke here. Are you there?
How are you going?
I'm going. fairly well. Hold on one sec, Stan. I want to put you somewhere else. Let me put you over here. Okay, do you have us?
Yeah, still
okay.
There.
Okay, good.
You're coming in clear now.
Good. Did you hear the facts?
Yeah. Wow. You know, I sent you a fax, about a week ago, but just before the Cure Isles went, to say that things in several areas look pretty bad.
Yes, you
Since
did.
Since that time, about 40% of them have converted to action. Like Gordon Michael, I try to say to folks, look, if you're in one of the areas that I say look out, you got about a 1 in 3, 1 in 4, maybe better chance that it will actually hit in the next 4 days. Be prepared. That's the best I can do. But what I've come across here in the last few days since I made that announcement is some information from a guy, I'll have to fax it to you later, about what people should do before an earthquake or volcano occurs in their area, what people should do during one in various buildings or locations that they might be in, and what people should do after the disaster if they survive it.
Right.
I think this is probably of much more value than the panic value of, geez, we're going to get an earthquake.
Sure.
So
nevertheless, Stan,
I'll get that to you later.
Okay, I'd love to get that. Stan, I would like to ask, though, I know you watched the thermal imagery from satellite. So what is it that you see? Tell everybody.
You mean, how does it work? What am I seeing?
Well, I guess give us a brief explanation of what you think you're seeing.
Okay.
Or what it means.
All right. Well, about, 90 days ago, the U.S. Navy declassified some image files that they get off of satellites twice a day.
Sure.
And these are called OTIS, O-T-I-S files, which allow us to see the sea surface temperature, absolute temperature, across the entire planet. Any water body, it will read the temperature on it very accurately.
Yes, sir.
Now, I take those color images of the entire planet twice a day, and I use a program called Photoshop and subtract one image from the first part of the day from the second one, and I also subtract other days prior to that to get the change in temperature.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want the absolute temperature. I want the change in temperature, see if it's warming up or if it's cooling down in various areas of the ocean. Now, in the beginning, this was just an idle curiosity, but very quickly I realized that these temperature changes, when they went up and down next to each other in tight little patterns, earthquakes or volcanoes occurred within a few days in those areas.
Hmm.
Now, what is causing it? Is it magma movements beneath the crust? I mean, this is quite unusual to have something like this happen. Is it something to do in the ionosphere, or is it something to do with simply pressure in the crust generating a temperature differential just from the pure pressure, which heats up the water a degree or so, or half a degree?
Right.
Now, I think the latter is probably the case more than magma movements. It's just when the pressure starts to build, the heat builds with it. It's like when you squeeze anything.
Sure.
Now, something else in the last week has been happening on another image that I get from the Navy that is unusual. Well, to me it is anyway. I've not seen it before. On your map, if you look at 90 degrees east latitude and 12 degrees south latitude, that's kind of in the middle of the Indian Ocean,
mm-hmm.
in the middle of nowhere, a thing about 60 miles in diameter, a circular thing, kind of like a yin-yang symbol, developed around the 2nd, 1st or 2nd of December. And it's just a perfectly round, chase-its-tail-type yin-yang symbol that developed there, showing that the wave height in the middle of the Indian Ocean in that tight little circle had increased. Now, this is okay. I mean, a hurricane will generate a symbol like that, perhaps a little smaller, but it will generate a symbol,
mm-hmm.
you know, a raised wave height. But this thing sat in one spot for 3 days and didn't move. Wasn't a hurricane, didn't get any hurricane reports or anything. It was just an upwelling of wave height. Now, until I was talking to Tony, it hadn't dawned on me. A long time ago, 79 or so, I remember reading about the smokers, you know, the deep sea vents that have superheated water gushing up through them?
Sure.
Okay. These things have been reported even as far back as the tale of the flood in Genesis as fountains of the deep, you know, where water comes up from underneath the floor of the ocean.
It's really underwater volcanic action, right?
Well, it's not really volcanic. It's 400 degrees Fahrenheit water that squirts out like a hypodermic through holes.
Hmm.
Now, in the north eastern Pacific Ocean off the Oregon-Washington coast, there have been reports of up to 1,100 little vents like this being cataloged since 79. They bring up water from way deep down in the Earth's surface, maybe 15 miles or so, down where the Moho discontinuity is and just above that. There seems to be a shell of water, the Russians reckon, which has superheated water and metals dissolved in it, and it gushes up through holes in the bottom of the ocean floor.
Hmm.
Now, this wouldn't mean much, except that about a week ago, a report came into Nexus magazine, and we are going to print this story in the next issue. Here in Australia, 2 years ago, a competent scientific group discovered what they think is proof that the Earth is contracting rapidly by geological standards.
Contracting.
This report was filed with the Prime Minister of this country and with various politicians of this country, and their responses were all recorded, and to a man, they all said, no, not interested, don't want to report it, don't want to back it.
Hmm.
Now, 2 years later, we're seeing evidence of crustal activity that would indicate something like this is in the go. If the Earth is contracting, then possibly these deep sea vents are becoming more active, and what I'm seeing here is an upwelling of a super vent. I don't know how to tell you, except that I think that's a good guess.
Stan, you mentioned the Indian Ocean area.
Yep.
That would be the next location, if I'm following Scallion's predictions accurately, that would be the next location for a likely 8-point quake.
You're joking.
No. It would be the Indian Ocean, followed by South America or Mexico, and then North America.
Just a second. I'm just pulling up today's map.
Okay. Because that is where we would look for the next action, would be somewhere in the Indian Ocean, probably.
A heat zone is developing underneath that welling I was telling you about. There's a temperature inversion, a drop just north of there surrounding that, and a heat inversion going up the other way, starting right where that bubble was, slightly to the left of it. That means that there could be a quake activity building there. It's not too serious yet. It's not a big one. South America, holy cow. Boy, look down the east, southeast coast, that's Argentina. On the right side, the east side of it, is lighting up, but I don't see any dark areas, so it may not convert yet. California, Baja California, has a white spot indicating a temperature rise off the tip of it and to the west about 600 miles, a tight zone. North of that up to San Francisco is a cooling, indicating that there's pressure between the two. Probably Los Angeles is where the conversion could take place. Also another one off Oregon, a hot spot building, cooling down. Sorry, that's off Washington. Down at Oregon, it's a hot spot, right on land. And then slightly south and west of that is a cool spot, indicating there might be some minor quakes up there shortly.
Okay, Stan, I know I don't have you for a long time. I would like to ask you, how can people see what you're seeing?
Well, on my webpage is a good place to start. I have the addresses on there of the U.S. Naval databases that I use. You can just click on your web page, and it takes you there.
Okay, there's now a link between my web page, I understand, and yours, correct?
That's correct. They can go to your web page for people that have appeared on your show who have web pages. Click my name. That takes them to my web page. And on my front page, there's a thing that says, about three-quarters of the way down, it says current quakes, thermal changes and wave height changes, U.S. Naval Center. And you just click on those, and it takes you straight in. And then you have to pull those images down. And if you don't know how to kind of process them, you can write to me on email because my address is on the page. And I'll tell you how you do it.
All right, Stan. I gave everybody my webpage address. I'll do it again.
All right.
I really, really appreciate your taking a few minutes out.
Well, thanks for sharing with that telegram. I didn't know that had happened.
Yeah, how do you react to that after what you've just seen, by the way?
Well, I know something unusual is happening. As I say, it's so new a science or semi-science that we're doing here that I don't know what I'm seeing. That something unusual is happening, and most of it at the moment seems to be Indian Ocean toward Australia. Australia has a hot spot developing under it, so I just it's working.
Stan,
all I can tell you is things over here are brewing.
All right, Stan. Thank you, my friend. We'll check back with you, and we'll stay in close touch.
Well, I'm exposed to the Indian Ocean side. Let's hope it's not a big wave, hey?
Have a good one, Stan.
Thanks. Thanks, Art. Bye-bye.
Take care. Down under, that's Stan Deo in Perth, Australia. And, oh, boy. We'll be right back. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Kathy in Landers, California.
Hi, Kathy.
I have been wanting to call you for a long time and tried several times.
Okay, well, you've got me now.
Well, I'd like to tell you, I've lived out here for about 18 years now and went through the big Landers earthquake out here. And ever since then, including the day that it happened for about a month after that, we got straight, solid, white haze in our desert.
White,
all around us for white, about a month.
White haze?
A white haze. It looked like clouds coming up out of the ground.
Well, I suppose it was dust literally kicking up out of the ground.
I don't think so for a month.
What do you think it was?
I think it was heat.
Heat?
Yeah, steam. Vapor.
Well, they should have been able to determine what it was.
Well, apparently... I talked to a geophysicist that had come up here to the area.
Right.
And I told him that I was, you know, really shaken up by the earthquake and how I felt about it. And I told him that I thought there was volcanic activity.
Yeah.
He said, well, what does your paper say? And I said, nothing. And I said, they won't tell us anything. Well, there's, you know, volcanic rock all around out here.
Yes.
You know, like 5 miles from my house. The crack, the 43-mile crack, runs like a half a block from behind me. Mm. We're in 2.5-acre parcels. This crack, you couldn't see the bottom when you look down.
Right.
There's areas that are so deep that you can't see the bottom. And it's starting to get white again out here.
That's always been one of my biggest fears, Kathy, the earth opening up and falling in. I don't like that.
As a kid... I always thought it was, you know, fantasy when they talked about that. You know, in the dinosaur movies and stuff?
Sure.
I tell you what, it's true. It's real.
You feel like some future fossil fuel, Kevin?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. Ever since then. I slept out in the tent on the front lawn until I got too cold to sleep out there.
People who have not been through earthquakes don't understand it. I've been through many. And I understand what you're saying. It is so frightening.
I was born and raised in California and never have been afraid of earthquakes. Never. But this was worse than anything that I've ever experienced or would want to experience again.
Right. No, Kathy, thank you. I understand. I have been through large earthquakes. It is debilitating to the spirit. Because there's nothing you can do. There's nowhere to run. The whole earth, everything below you, moves. Things fall off the wall. You cannot imagine the fear generated by a large earthquake, the lasting fear. There is an immediate fear. There's a kind of a, you know, eventually, of course, your mind begins to protect itself, and you begin to forget, and it fades, as it should, for your own protection into the background. You don't want to live with that kind of fear. And so your mind begins to blanket a bit, as it should. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello, Art.
Hi.
I was wondering on the militias, if you had any more information on that.
On what, specifically?
The militias in Mexico.
Well, Supreme Commander Compton, I think, still plans to go down. I don't know how many plan to follow. I doubt 250,000.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't heard no more. And the thing about the quickening... pretty amazing. I think a lot of people have a lot of feeling about, you know, what's going to happen and stuff.
Well, I think that's because we are instinctual. We're animals, Steve.
Yeah.
Some of us more than others. And we feel things. Thank you. Just like a dog or a cat, and they're domesticated, probably have fewer instincts than animals that live outside. We're animals. We're biological, magnetic beings, and we're made up mostly of water. And so if we pay attention, there are signals all around us. All we have to do is listen. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Hello, Art. This is 790 Los Angeles.
Yes, of course, KABC.
They got a good article in Scientific American this month on Pacific Northwest and the tectonics and earthquakes. And they also have an article on hail bopping there too for your.
It is true that a lot of regular science is beginning to talk about earth movement.
Yeah. Well, in relation to the size of the earthquakes that they have in what they call Cascadia, the Cascade Range.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I was going to say, not on that subject, but you know, I was really suspicious when Clinton wanted to send in the first division, you know, the big red one,
yeah,
heavily armored mechanized division into Bosnia.
Yes.
And I got a feeling we are not going to be there for a year. It's going to be an extended tour of duty. And another thing, from the semantics, the way things they're talking about this agreement, I don't think we're going to arm the Bosnian Muslims.
Well, Clinton doesn't want to.
Yeah, but I bet it's the type of thing that they're going to use that criteria. In other words, they'd be defenseless if we're not there. So it's going to be an extended tour for the United States there.
What a surprise.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I mean, that's the thing. At first, he sells it from saying that we're not going to be there for more than a year. But immediately, you know, within this last 2 weeks, it's going to be something where it's going to be like Cyprus. We're going to be there indefinitely.
Look, how much money do you put on what the president says? I mean, have you not learned? Have we all not learned?
Well, I take with a large grain of salt anything he says.
Oh, man, you ought to take it with a whole salt mine. thanks very much. Oh, come on. I said it the day they announced it. If you believe we're going to be in Bosnia for 1 year, then I've got a rice paddy in Vietnam for you. I mean, come on. As it came out of the lips, you knew what it was. So did I. So does everybody. I don't even know why it bothers to say it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from December 6th, 1995. Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from December 6th, 1995.
Morning from the high desert. Hi, everybody. I am Art Bell. Good to be here. It's the only place to be, I guess, huh? How you doing? You say you're a little concerned, Pookie? Yeah, me too. But life goes on, and you can't put up your hand and stop this kind of stuff if it's going to happen. So, que sera, I guess. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Well, how do you do there, sir?
I do reasonably well.
Good. I'd like to speak with Art Bell, if I may. I haven't heard anybody mention, you know, when the United States and the Russian, they joined in space.
Yes.
And then they separated?
They mated, yes.
Yes. Well, did you happen to see the two of them go over when they separated?
Well, yes.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Well, it was about 6:40 here in the morning, and my husband, son, and myself went out, and it took about 5 to 10 minutes out there, I guess.
Oh, you mean did I? Oh, you mean did I go outside and see?
Yeah,
no,
and
no,
here,
I did
and
not.
Here came both of them. It was
no, but what I did see is the shuttle reentry, and it was absolutely awesome.
I just was going to say it was the most awesome wonder you can imagine, and they were in view plain view for probably 45 seconds.
Oh, no question about it.
And they were following each other. It was the most marvelous thing.
I know. All right. Thank you very much. Yes, I saw it. I saw the reentry, and it was the gosh darndest thing I ever saw. It was a purple. I didn't see the two of them. I saw the reentry of the shuttle, and it was an orange streak that went, I would guess, 20 degrees, 10 or 20 degrees, 15 or 20, I'll say, above the horizon, which came west to east, and it was awesome. That thing just was trucking. It began as a bright star in the west, and then began to streak across the horizon. I didn't hear the sonic boom, but it was clear as can be here in the high desert, as it so frequently is, and it was beautiful. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yes, Mr. Bell.
I can barely hear you there, sir.
John here from Culver City, California.
Okay, I've got you now. Hi, John.
Yes. I was listening to you talk about Michael New.
Yes.
And I have to agree with you 100%. I'm 38, and I've never been in the service myself, but I still agree with you completely. I think anybody who joins the service should fill out their obligation no matter what it is.
Well, they should follow legal orders. Now, there are circumstances under which you can be given an order that is not legal. Then it is your obligation.
That is true.
To disobey. You don't, if you're told to burn a village full of children, you don't do it.
That would be considered illegal, of course.
That's there you are. All right. So otherwise, if you get a legal order, you do what you are ordered to do. And we can take it Joe's way and discuss whether Michael New is some sort of hero. To me, he is not. If you wish to change the obligation the UN has through treaty to other UN member nations, then you do that by changing the treaties. You don't do it by joining the U.S. military, holding up your hand, promising to uphold the U.S. Constitution. And if you'll check out the U.S. Constitution, you will find that treaties, when they are made, become the supreme law of the land, and then disobey it. That isn't the way you do it. You run for Congress. You petition your congresspeople, your Senate people, even the president, whoever you want to petition, to see to it that that treaty is abrogated. That's the way you do it. You don't go into the military and then refuse to take an order, and when you do, you get court-martialed. Now, you may consider Michael New a hero. I don't. I consider him somebody who has disobeyed a lawful order and properly faces a court-martial. Wildcard Line, you're on the air.
Hello there. Calling from San Diego.
Yes, sir.
A little while ago, I guess it was a couple hours ago, you were talking about the new coastline according to Scallion's predictions.
Well, he has something called a future map.
Right.
Yes.
Actually, uh-huh. I'm looking at that right now. When he was on, he advertised that, and I went ahead and ordered that. But according to the first quake, you're pretty near the Nevada border, aren't you, with California?
About 8 miles from the California border.
So you'd be probably 200-300 miles from the new coastline from the first major quake.
Well, there would not. It's my understanding there would not be a new coastline created by the first major quake. The new the actual geographic changes of that kind would come in the second round.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's right. Then it says the 10 to 15 magnitude that would cause the new coastline to begin there.
That would be in a second great round of quakes.
Right, and then after that, they could go back to Nebraska or something.
Yeah.
The coastline would go back there.
Yep.
Nothing but mountains in California after that, then. You know, the island sticking up out of the... pretty major stuff.
Pretty major.
All right, just wanted to, pass that along.
Thank you. I appreciate that. A little bit of cheer in the morning. Thank you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Hi, Art. The Michael New thing, the New American December issue's got an article called More Soldiers Saying No. And there is a treaty. It's called the United Nations Participation Act of 1945. So Korea and the Persian Gulf and Vietnam. They were under this, and it empowers the president to make troops available for peacekeeping and peace enforcement missions.
Yes, I know.
And the North Atlantic Treaty, NATO Treaty, specifies that the alliance exists to serve the purposes and principles of the United Nations and recognizes the primary responsibility of the Security Council for the maintenance of international peace and
security. Ma'am, the whole point here is that if you wish to change this, you don't do it as a GI refusing a lawful order.
No, he has no right. I always thought he had a right, but the thing is, I think, are military people aware of this particular United Nations participation?
Well, there's a lot of people that are not aware, thank you, of a lot of things. And it is a very populist thing right now to say, yeah, good for Michael New, man. Yeah, refuse that order. Well, to me, he is not a hero. He is simply somebody who's going to be court-martialed and probably go to the brig. To some people, I guess he's a hero, not to me. And I still say that those who think he is a hero don't get it. And they don't get it because they never have been in the military and don't understand the military. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Art. How's it going?
Okay.
KOH up in Reno.
Reno, yes, sir.
I was down in Japan the last week or so and into China. And on the way back, it's amazing how far radio carries. I got to go up to the cockpit of the jet I was in and had a radio, and about an hour out of Japan, was able to pick up KOH radio.
From Reno?
Well, from Reno.
Cool.
Way out there. I heard Ross Mitchell about 5:15 in the morning talking about Barbara Vukanovich not running for re-election. Gone for about a half an hour. Kind of scratchy,
yep.
But it was definitely Reno.
Yep.
But I watched on the television the Japanese version of the earthquake in Kobe 11 months later.
Yes, sir.
I never realized the amount of damage that was done.
It was unbelievable.
55,000 buildings destroyed.
Yes. And the thing that people need to understand when we're talking about the impact of a 8-point quake is that was, I'm trying to recall, it was 7.
2 or 8? 7. Somewhere in there. 7.4?
Yeah. Right. 7.4, I believe. And the Japanese thought they really had it down in terms of construction for earthquake-resistant buildings, and they all came down like a house of cards.
There were, looked like square patches, like maybe a mile square at a time, that were totally leveled, and they hauled it all off the ocean and dumped it.
That's right.
And the thing that surprised me, kind of caused me to think a while, a lot of the fire equipment and the water trucks and the food trucks and that were not used. And the reason was, they couldn't go anyplace. They were stopped in place.
Yeah.
And it's not like after a war where you can go in and resupply something down a country road. So I had to redo my thinking up here in Reno for what's happening. But I thought I'd let you know I was able to pick up KOH clear out there in the Pacific.
Did you hear Stan Dale from Australia?
Oh, yeah. I caught part of that the last time I was back here in Reno.
No. This last hour.
Oh, no, I didn't, sir. Oh. I just got in, and I just came through the door.
I see. All right. Thank you very much for the call, and it is certainly true. You know, if you can wangle your way up into a cockpit and get to the radio, the moment you're up in the air and leaving Japan, particularly just prior to dawn, you would be able to hear West Coast signals, no doubt about it. Radio is really cool. If you get a good radio, like an 818CS or something like that, and get a good antenna out there, you can hear radio from all over the world. East of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Yes, I have your answer for the quickening there.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do.
You're the quickening answer man, huh?
That's me.
All right. And what do you have to say?
It's this, actually, what I really think it is, it's this band here in Columbia, the Flying Scully Mac Attack. They're just rocking so hard, they're blasting everyone all over the world with their sounds.
All right, sir. Thank you. That was a sneaky little plug. Wild Card Line, you're on the air.
Radio Free America.
Hey, hey.
51% approve of Clinton's handling, huh?
That's what it says.
Boy, he can fool the majority of the people all the time.
Well, or at least most of the time.
You know, Art, and dumb as rocks. But anyway, you know, the Gingrich deal.
Yeah.
You know, he might have done something wrong, but, I mean, they're nitpicking, and we got a guy, a president, who's been charged with drug dealing, money laundering, and what looks to me, I hesitate to use a word, but it looks to me like murder in Foster's case.
Well, that puts you way out in an extreme limb.
Well, you know, me being the extremist that I am,
I
have to say that.
Well, nobody has officially charged him with murder. Nobody has officially charged him with drug dealing, as far as I know. And if you know that that is, you know, when you make an allegation like that,
Wall Street Journal's made those allegations.
Yeah, but see, the word allegation and the word charged with are different. Charged with is like indicted by a grand jury or charged with by the police or the FBI, arrested for, charged with.
Okay, well,
as opposed to allegation.
Okay, they've been alleged, but they really haven't been pursued or investigated.
Thank you.
I think that that's a heck of a lot more troubling to me than Benedict Gingrich, who I'm no fan of, as you know, of his college course dilly-dally.
That's simple political revenge.
Well, do you think that Starr is ever going to come out with anything? I mean, what has he been doing?
Well, I'm not privy to what he's doing. But the rumors are, I can tell you this, the rumors are there's some pretty heavy-duty Whitewater-related stuff about to come up. Bubbling up.
You know, you said payback, for Wright, but wasn't Hillary Clinton, wasn't she an attorney against Nixon, too?
I believe she was.
Would that be considered payback also?
Well, I do know that what's happening to Gingrich is pure political payback. And,
yeah. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, I'll see you later. There's no question about it. Pure political payback. And that one's been in the hopper for a long time. Gingrich, however, lately has been making it easier for them. And I do wish he'd quit doing that. You know, he's been making a pretty easy, simple target, good target. Shouldn't do that. Said he was going to lay low for a while. That is very un-Gingrich-like. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
What an honor. Let me get my radio.
All right. Get that radio.
Thank you. Been with you about a year. Listen to you every night. I really enjoy it.
Great. Where are you?
I'm in beautiful Kent, Washington.
Kent. All right.
Yes, sir. Art, I'm going to be going to work on a factory trawler up in the Bering Sea here about towards the end of January.
Yes, sir.
How am I going to be able to pick you up?
You'll be able to hear us.
Kenai?
K-E-N-I in Anchorage, K-F-A-R in Fairbanks, K-I-N-Y in Juneau.
Bottom of a steel boat with a lot of steel.
K-E-X in Portland, K-P-N-W in Eugene, K-O-M-O in Seattle.
Excellent.
K-G-A in Spokane.
Wanted to make sure they all went up that far.
You tune around, huh?
Okay, but what about the steel boat, though? Is that going to be a problem?
Well, steel boat, you know, get yourself a little bit of coax and put an antenna outside.
Okay, good deal. Another quick question.
Water is a great conductor.
Okay, thank you. What if the big one hits up there in the Aleutians or maybe in the north, or even the Bering Sea, the 8 point or 8.5?
Well, then I believe the nautical phrase would be batten down the hatches.
I guess the water's not a good place to be, or is?
I don't know. It depends on your point of view. If you're previously, if you were previously on land and you're in water, that's not good.
Okay, buddy. Thank you.
See you later. You got to maintain a sense of humor. West of the Rockies, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Dan from Fairbanks.
Hello, Dan.
Hi. Well, I took some of your advice, and I ordered an 818 Monday.
Good for you.
And I'm hoping it'll get here tomorrow.
Well, maybe it will. You're going to love it.
Well, I hope so. I'm really getting excited about getting it.
Well, for good reason.
Well, it's about 23 below here and no snow.
That's weird.
And I think that guy just called us, headed out to the Bristol Bay in January on that factory trawler. Got a lot more to worry about than earthquakes. You can get 40 and 50 foot seas in January out in Bristol Bay, and they've been known to take down a few trawlers from time to time.
Really?
There is.
That's not my idea of a fun cruise.
No, me neither. There have been, over the course of the last few years, probably 3 or 4 100, 200 foot vessels that have sunk out there.
No, I wouldn't like that. And even if I didn't sink, I would be sicker than a dog. When I go on a ship, I like these great big ships with giant stabilizers on them. Cost them a lot of money and fuel, but, you know, they keep the ship nice and stable, and you don't get seasick.
Yep. I think, Willie Weasel kind of made a mistake by sending these troops to Bosnia.
Well, I'll go along with you there.
I think it's going to last a lot more longer than a year, and I think we're going to wind up with 75 or 100,000 troops over there before it's over with.
Well, we should pray that doesn't occur. That's the worst case scenario.
Well, I hope it doesn't, but I hope the people, when the election comes, starts listening to all of his excuses as why the troops aren't coming out of there and realize that he's just talking out of the other side of his face.
I agree with you. Well, I'll tell you, you always know when to worry. When you see Peter Arnett in Bosnia, maybe up on one of those platforms, then you got to worry. You watch for Peter Arnett. He's like a harbinger. When you see Peter Arnett, you know action's coming. Wild Card Line, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Steve.
Ah.
In the Willamette Valley Sea Trench. Also known as Portland.
Yes, sir. Sounds like you're actually in a barrel. Are you on some sort of...
Well, actually, I'm in a giant cafeteria here, all alone by myself.
Sounds like it.
Anyway, remember, quite a while ago when people were talking about something going on in the Grand Canyon?
Yes.
Where they were, like, roping off an area and everybody thought they were building, UN concentration camp or something?
Well, I didn't think that.
Well, I know. But my thought was, what about all those refugees coming from California?
What about them?
Well, wouldn't they be preparing somewhere to put them?
So you think...
If they knew.
You think there's going to be a mass extinction of Californians?
No. Like,
toss them into the Grand Canyon, maybe?
Yeah, like a tent city.
Tent city.
For people.
I see.
Not an extinction, you know.
Well, I mean, it's a big hole in the ground.
Yeah, really. Well, you know, if they were preparing something. Also, did CBC get you a satellite truck yet so you can go trucking around the country and reporting, you know, when everything's going down?
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would. Yeah. I think I like that idea.
Well, you would.
I want them to.
You do?
Yeah, sure. That
special
way you can,
little truck so I can...
A little truck with a big dish on top.
Bell on the road,
Art
huh?
Bell on the road, coast to coast.
Oh, God.
Of course, the coasts are a little smaller, but...
Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye.
Yeah, I don't know about all this, folks. Don't rack it on my back. I listen. I put people on the air. From Dr. Nick Begich to astronauts to people like Gordon Michael Scallion and Sandeo and the rest of those folks. I don't necessarily subscribe to it. Nor do I necessarily not subscribe to it. I listen very carefully, and I think people with an open mind do. This is all very interesting stuff. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. And they will all tell you that. These are just little hints and bits of information, and if you want to absorb them and believe they mean something, that is up to you. Good night, America.